live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medin. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th Man, John Inch. Booyah! The sports is really hot tonight, baby. And the phones are lighting up as well, and I'm really grateful for that. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. My team that's going to make the playoffs is beating the orange team. Yes, baby. Chris Jones is going to make a team that's aggressive, tough, and chase the other team. Now, I know Storm's in here, so he can tell us what it's really like to be that close to a new winner. Also today, I watched my first European football game of the World Cup, and it was so nice to see the contact in the game that almost happened that was penalized. It makes you appreciate the other form of football known as
the Canadian Football League.
And it really is so nice. It is so nice to watch this game. Dropping back. Oh, look, it's going. Adler almost had that. He almost had that. But he didn't catch it. Great defense by the Edmonton Eskimos. Okay, so the hockey's going on. Serge Duvelutien. See, I never say du, I say de. I forget the U is there. The U is there. There's no U side by each. There's just one U after the E. And he's brought along a couple of pals that are CFL fans, new guests on the program. We have for now. And if you can help me, guys, because it's very – I'll turn down the sound on the football game. It doesn't matter anymore what's going on in the football. Oh, what a nice catch, but out of bounds, baby. Out of bounds. Yeah. Okay, so one at a time, I'm gonna turn on mics, and then I'm gonna turn off to make sure that I know who I'm talking to. So first of all, at the top of the list, I believe I have Bruce John Inch, right, Bruce?
Oski wee wee, gentlemen.
There you go. And hey, today it's ladies' night, so
Oski wee wee CFL fans.
There you go. And let's remember now that. We must remember to respect the fairer sex at this moment because it's very important. And today I was having fun. I truly was having fun. What the heck's going on here? Trying to write you in. There's a slot to write you in, Bruce. And it's not letting me write you in. It's like it doesn't like you. It must not like Tagcat, man.
Must be an organized computer.
Must be. You must be. You're right. And I already typed in Storm Schmidt. Storm Schmitty, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And I got a couple of 514 area codes. I'll turn one on first so I can tell the difference between which ones they are. So one of the 514, it'll be Serge or a friend of Serge's. Is that correct?
Am I one of the 514s or no?
Yes, you are, Serge. Yes, you are,
okay.
Serge.
I don't know what the other one called in yet.
Well, you got one of your friends. It must be one of your friends. I mean, who else listens to the show?
friends. Well, I was supposed to have two friends, so maybe one failed.
You never know. Okay, let's turn on
which one called in.
Yeah, we'll find out right now. And the surprise is over. Which other 514 we got in the house?
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes, yes, I do.
It's the number one Argo fan of all time.
You're an Argo fan? Get out.
No.
Well, she dates an Argo fan. So.
I dated an Argo fan, exactly.
Oh,
I embrace the CFL.
Je m'appelle François. Et vous?
Is that obvious?
Hey, it isn't that obvious. It was an assumption on my part, and I apologize wholeheartedly. And your name
Judith.
Is?
Judith. Yeah, Dame Judith.
Judith?
On the show.
Judith, yeah.
Judith. My plaisir. I hope you're more interesting than Serge.
I believe he's pretty interesting.
Cool, man.
He's very interesting. He's a good friend, and you know, there are avid sports fans in the world. There are avid sports fans in the world, and Serge is a unique sports fan. I appreciate his fervor and his excitement, and I look forward to his private messages to me. I don't need to turn on my phone other than to put on Facebook, and I know what the scores are for everything.
Exactly. There you go.
Exactly. Judith, it really is a pleasure to meet you. Now I have an 819. Who's in the 819?
Oh, that's my other boy. Okay. Here
we go. Okay. And you are? Hello? Hello?
Yes,
oh, you know what? No, it's my fault, man. I don't have the mic on. I didn't turn that mic on. My apologies.
Okay.
Well, Bruce John Lynch would know him. They met in Moncton.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, Bruce. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, what's good? Who's this?
It's Frank. We have a picture together in front of that pub when we were for the Touchdown Atlantic in Moncton.
Right on, man. Right on.
There you go. Thanks.
Good.
Small world.
Old school. How's the stadium building? How's the stadium over there? Is it going to be ready on time?
Oh, they say it is, but we're going to see. It's going to be close, man.
Yeah.
I think it'll be open, but they're going to have a lot of things not 100% done. I don't think a lot of the concession stands will be opened, but they're going to have the washrooms and the green grass or the green turf on the field and my seat, and that's all I care about right now.
And beer.
The player.
And
beer and
the
player.
So I think I should probably introduce myself. I'm Frank. I'm from. I'm also an Alouettes fan, like Serge and. Oh no, Judith is an Argo fan. That's true. I forgot about that.
No, she's not. I already caught on to the gag. She's not an Argo.
Fan. Tim Tebow.
I know Judith. I like to mess around with her. I know she's very happy also with the election results in Ontario. But let's not talk about that.
Who cares? I'm very happy with the election results in Quebec.
Oh God!
Me too.
Started.
Me too.
You know what? I was going to tell, like, you know, French is my first language, but I like to think at least I don't have an accent as pronounced as our former prime minister in Quebec, you know. And I don't speak English like Georges St-Pierre, you know, that I'm going to... Anyway, so yes, I'm from the Gatineau, Ottawa area. I'm an Alouettes fan, and just up front, I'm going to say I'm not going to be a turncoat when the Red Blacks join the league, but since I like to encourage the league, so I'm going to go watch a few games there. And I just passed in front of the stadium earlier tonight, and man, they're gonna need to work a lot of extra hours if they want to get it ready for July 18th, the home opener. I mean,
overall, CFL fans. At bottom line, we're all CFL fans. We like our team first, of course, but we I watch almost every game during the season.
Exactly.
Phyllis Babin has posted the picture of you guys together in Moncton.
She just posted it.
Unfortunately, I can't post anything on this show.
I don't see it.
She just messaged me and said she did.
I don't have the
link. Maybe she put it on my wall.
Okay, guys, let me put it on Bruce's wall, Phyllis. I know you're listening. Phyllis Babin, a great friend of the show.
Yeah, it's on my wall, Bill. Okay, I remember you now, the defense people. Right on, right on.
Well,
I was worrying.
That brings back some good memories.
So Frank, can we get to the main topic? I would like to ask some of your guests and yourself a question.
Judith, just hold on a second. You can have the first question. I'm good with that. But let us bring in the other two people. Actually, there's going to be three people coming here.
Sorry.
Okay. Please don't worry. Okay. Stevie is here as well. Stevie Richardson. Our resident Hargo fan. And let me get his mic in. There we go. Okay, Stevie. Do you hear me, Stevie?
Hey, that's me. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, say hello. I still got a couple more people to acknowledge present in the group at this time. And our final two, I can always confuse which one's 661 and which one is 651. But they're both Christopher and I believe it would be Manasseh. Am I right?
I'm here.
Okay, so Chris and Manasseh, are you here too?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so we're all here. We've got nine of us here.
Is that a fumble?
So, somebody pulling at
their
knee.
Oh, we got a guy down.
Yeah, somebody pulling on their knee. Well, first, welcome everybody to the program. I want you to know that we have a couple of first-timers here, Judith and Frank. I guess for tonight you guys can call me Francois. And
call me Francois. I mean, I'm the French guy, so I'll mind.
Yeah, but it's no fun calling you Francois. It's more fun calling me Francois. Or you can call me French.
Yeah,
you can call me French.
Yeah, so I'll call you Francois, and I'm Frank tonight. That's good. But if
you want, I'll call you Francois. I don't have a problem with that.
Frank is
Frank.
Good.
Okay, Frank. All right.
Yeah, Frank is good.
Good. I'm glad. All right. So now we're all accounted for. Judith had a question for the group. And Judith, please, let her rip.
Yeah, I've noticed, I've watched a game, Winnipeg against Toronto, that was on Wednesday.
It doesn't matter what day, but the game, yes.
It was Monday,
It was Monday.
It was Monday, yes, indeed, sorry. And today, we saw, they had their starting quarterback, Riley, and...
not Riley.
Drew Willie for Winnipeg.
Drew Willie.
So what are you guys thinking? Why do you think they're playing their starter quarterback?
Well, okay, I'll start.
I find it kind of odd, actually.
Yeah, I'll start. The simple reason, as far as I'm concerned, is that Drew Willie does not have as much starting experience, and in a way, he needs experience as quickly as possible because he really has. Come out from the shadow of Darian Durant in Saskatchewan and doesn't have as much game experience as you'd want for a starter. Who else wants to pipe in?
He's a rookie, and that's basically it.
Yeah, you hit the nail pretty much, just like Kolaris is starting for us tomorrow.
Saturday night when they play Calgary, they already said he's going to play the entire first half and half of the third quarter.
So he's clearly established as the starting quarterback for Winnipeg, right? So I guess the Bombers finally have a starting quarterback, which is a first in many years, I think.
So, I don't know.
2011.
Oh, no, they had Bakhtir.
May played a much better game than Willie did.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Riley doesn't come out. He can have the two broken legs and two broken arms. He just wants to play. Plain simple.
Yeah.
But the thing is, do you guys think that probably Chris John is hesitating between... Because we know that Nichols was in the plan before he got injured, and then he got injured for a whole season, and he couldn't make him play at all. Do you think he's hesitating between Nichols and between Riley, or you think his mind is set on Riley and he's sure that he's going to be his guy for the season?
Judith, in this group, you're going to hear something strange right now to you. And I'll let whichever one of you guys thinks that, in fact, Riley isn't Jones's guy.
Okay.
No. Go ahead. Whoever interesting. Does. Yeah, I know this is. It'll still be interesting to you, and I guess that's you, Christopher, right? It doesn't
let Manasseh take this one.
Manasseh, take this one.
No. That's Chris's. That's his guy. Mike Riley's
okay,
gonna be
starter. Mike Riley's a beast out there, but Chris Jones is just not high on him. So it's going to be a battle for the number one spot in Edmonton between Nichols and a crop that might even be come into the picture here. But Chris Jones has said that Mike Riley is not the designated starter.
Yeah, see, I think that's bull. Even though I don't like Edmonton, I think that's bull.
Well, I do too. Riley
be the
Riley
and we all agree with that. But one thing we can also agree on, and Judith makes an excellent point, and Judith, you're 100% to ask. It's 100% correct for you to ask that question because, quite frankly, Riley wasn't the number one quarterback last year. It took an injury for him to become the number one quarterback.
Exactly.
Right.
He did.
But Nichols has been hurt like two or three times now. He's like Buck Pierce 3.0 after Drew Tate.
Yeah, another Buck Pierce.
He wasn't lucky.
You know,
he had big injuries,
Well, if you want to talk about.
And Judith?
Quarterback's no good if he's not on the field.
Exactly. Well,
Drew Tate.
Exactly. Last season, Riley showed great skills, and I would trust him as the first quarterback, but is it enough, this season they want to be a competing team in the West. They have five teams now, so it's going to be a lot tougher to make their way through the top three.
Yes,
I would give
true.
Mike Riley starting position with the BC Lions without hesitation. So
but
if he can't make
leash.
Starter in Edmonton, I don't know who's going to.
Well, I was actually reading one of the Edmonton reporters was talking about how there's a rift between Chris Jones and the GM Ed Hervey. And Jones feels like Riley's Hervey's guy, and he kind of wants to undermine him in that stance because everyone knows Jones has eyes on becoming the GM and the head coach. So
yeah, he's
I
just
think
trying
part
to get
of
Hervey
his greater
fired.
Plan to get Hervey out the door.
Yeah. So wouldn't it be better for him?
Oh.
Yeah. There's a problem in Edmonton where you've got a general manager who's not well liked in the dressing room, which is to Chris Jones's advantage. Some of the stuff that was done last year by the GM in Edmonton, some might have called underhanded and classless, as strong as that.
Yeah.
Bring Kevin Glenn back to Calgary, please.
Well, he's got a nice home in BC right now. He's looking good,
Doran.
It'd be
a good show to...
I'm keeping him.
Yeah, and you know what, guys... go ahead.
I'll never understand why you guys are so high on Kevin Glenn. It's amazing. I think Beck is a better quarterback than Glenn. Just looking at this game so far, Beck's played way much better.
Well, good. That's good. And that's a good segue, or that's what I was going to try to say. If we haven't learned anything from last year, a starting quarterback is just a starting quarterback. We learned it in Edmonton. Riley flourished with the opportunity that at the beginning of the season he wasn't going to get. Caleros flourished, in a season that no one predicted. Well, maybe some would have predicted that, that Ray would have got hurt, but nobody would have predicted that Caleros would play as well, especially on the road. And the list goes on of great, young quarterbacks. So I think we're in an era in the CFL where you really are going with two quarterbacks, and you have to because, quite frankly, a quarterback isn't going to make it all year most of the time. So,
and that's how Ken Austin got all his success especially through the playoffs, and that's how he got that far because he was using Lefevre, he was using Burris, and he was even playing the third quarterback. It was all in
that,
his advantage.
That's how he broke our hearts in Guelph, Judith.
Exactly.
Well, I still remember that. Self remembers it as well.
Yeah. So and that's totally understandable. Yeah. And why not? If you're some of the teams are carrying four quarterbacks. So if you're playing two, you still got two that are on the sidelines not doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it isn't like you're using your whole roster. You know, you're only using I think there was even a team that was carrying five quarterbacks, if that's believable.
Wow.
You know,
well, so he's got four right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So the quarterback position, we all know in the CFL, can we all agree
that it is the
most important position in the CFL?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and for many teams, the coaches will have to deal with at least two quarterbacks because a lot of them are new, so they will need to be taught and to learn on the field. So you have Claros, who is a rookie. You have for our team, we have Tanner Marsh, we have Troy Smith, who are also rookies, and you know the list goes on. So it's going to be very tough for the coaches to say, okay, this is your spot, and you're going to be the leader, and you're going to be the guy there, and you're going to play every game. I don't think they can promise that at the beginning of the season. You know
the only reason they do it, Judith. You know why they do it? They assign number one to a player.
Why?
The only reason. Because they got to tell the reporters somebody's a starter. Otherwise, they say there's a controversy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know,
it's hard to call Troy Smith and John Beck and a few others rookies, even though this is their first year in the CFL. I mean, they played three or four years down in the NFL too, right? So they are rookies, but they're not kids.
To the game of the Canadian Football League. To the Canadian Football
Agreed.
League, they're rookies.
Exactly.
Exactly what I meant, yeah.
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 Yeah. And there is a learning curve for anybody coming to the CFL, and there is the issue with adapting to the way the game is played, that, you know, you can be very successful in the NFL and be a total, you know, failure in the CFL.
Well,
it's
happens
just
all the time, but my point is that as rookies, you're usually, you know, stressed under pressure, where these guys have had a little bit of that in their past. So, you know, they don't have all of the bad things that come with it.
100% right. That is totally true. There's no doubt about it for a second.
Just like in Calgary, like Tate or Bolai v. Mitchell, nobody's said who's going to start as a starting quarterback, and I hope it's
Bolai v. Mitchell
going to
start.
Why do you think Bolai v. Mitchell, Frank?
Because by the third game, Drew Tate will break again. He's made of glass. I wish the guy helped.
He's too cocky and he's too injury prone.
Speaking of Calgary quarterbacks, we talked about Kevin Glenn earlier on. You know, I'm from the Ottawa area, and I still don't understand why he requested a trade because he's granted. Okay, it's. I guess he was not too happy with the hiring of Henry Burris, but Burris is not getting any younger, and I was talking about that with a colleague of mine, and Burris has been very reliable, I mean, not injured very often in the past years, but he's been playing with established teams that have a strong O-line that protect him well. In Ottawa, it's going to be a brand-new team, so I can see Burris, if he gets pounded all the time, I can see him getting injured, and I would have, I mean, Kevin Glenn, I think, would have gotten a lot of playing time in Ottawa. And frankly, I saw they held a practice here, the Redblacks on the Quebec side last Saturday, and I was not that impressed by Burris. I mean, he didn't look as much in shape as the previous year, so we'll see.
Well, I think the important thing has been accomplished by Burris. Burris has accomplished the most important feat, and that is he signed a contract.
Yeah, the marketing. I think it's the marketing aspect. It's like Ocho Cinco here in Montreal. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us what you think of the Ocho Cinco.
Exactly like you're saying, Frank. I mean, I think that Glenn is way better than DeMarco. What I've seen from DeMarco wasn't outstanding. I don't think, well, in my opinion, so I think Glenn would have been a better second quarterback than DeMarco.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
More reliable.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, it's an
not more reliable, more consistent.
Exactly.
Yeah, more
Glenn would have been a much more consistent quarterback.
Exactly.
Same thing.
I think
with
DeMarco
had
only like one
age.
Game in the CFL, and that was all.
Yeah, he comes from Christopher's team, BC.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to remember that.
you know, yeah. DeMarco's only 24 years old, so they're looking at him as a guy they can develop over time, and he can.
Yeah, like Tanner Marsh in Montreal. I had to say that.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
inside
Thomas,
joke.
Thomas DeMarco was our third-string quarterback, right?
Oh, he was your backup.
In,
second guy.
Well, he was for last year, but before Riley left, he was our third stringer, right? His promotion wasn't because he was much better. His promotion was the guy in the middle left. Nobody here was that confident in his ability to run a team.
Well, I mean, let's not forget
Ottawa
he went to
now.
Saskatchewan and won a, had a great game, and he won a game on the road.
He did.
Against the Riders, which was, you know.
Important.
Hey, Judith and Frank, Phyllis wanted me to say hi to you two.
Oh. Ooh,
she's
wanted me to say hi?
Yeah, she's listening in. Phyllis. You met her last
year.
Phyllis
never
was,
calls.
Yeah,
I remember. Well.
No, she never calls.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
She's shy. She's shy. Yeah, tell us if you don't mind, since you're the new people, we'd like to get to know you a little better. And ladies first, I guess. Judith, how long have you been a CFL fan? What attracted you to the game?
I have to say that I've been watching almost every Grey Cup since I've been, 15 years old. Of course, my father was more interested in football at first, so it was a way to get, like we get our most of our conversation are about sports. So
there you go.
So that was fun. And then in 2009, he got season tickets. So I started to join him and go to the games with him. And then my mother came along. And in 2011, I was fortunate enough to win the Gibson's Finest Fan Contest. So I've been to the...
That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. I've been to the Grey Cup. And since then, I fell in love with the whole league. After that, I was watching every game and every team playing and, you know, like noticing the good players from other teams. Because before that, I was, you know, mostly watching the Alouettes and I was, like, cheering for them. But after seeing how Grey Cup works and how people get along so well, I was like, wow, this is amazing, and I'm a true Canadian, proud to be. It was a great experience. So after that, I've been, to every game, and we're going to the fan trains, and I go to Toronto once in a while to see games. And we're going to Ottawa to see both games that are played there this year. So, yeah, I've been really, following them after, you know, I've been gone to the Grey Cup and see how it works and how the fans get together. It was a great experience, very unique. And then I've been to the Grey Cup in Toronto in 2012.
Of course, in Toronto, you.
Yes. I was cheering for the Argos.
And the result was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I was cheering for the Argos.
Very
I had like my little A painted on my cheeks. So I was like, yay, okay, let's go. You got it.
I was there too. I might have bumped into you.
Maybe.
So the game.
I had pretty good seats. I was sitting close to the field.
It sounds to me that the game, a big part of the game for you is the atmosphere and the experience of sharing the game with other fans. And that you know, for the most part, is the same experience. It's the same for me. You know, what really makes the game a lot of fun for me is going with a group of people, watching the game with a group of people, cheering for the team. Afterwards, going out and having dinner after the game with some. We're able to go have dinner with the players and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And no matter what color
they are, I mean, I have friends from Toronto, I have friends from Winnipeg, I have friends from BC. So no matter what jersey you're wearing, if you like CFL, you're my buddy.
There you go.
You have friends from Ottawa too, you know. You have friends from Ottawa too, you know. You forgot Ottawa, you forgot me.
Yeah, I have friends from Ottawa too.
you were talking about Calgary too.
Well, I first met her at an Argos game against the Ticats in 2012. And I recognized her because she was the Gibson's Finest. So she was like a superstar at that time. So.
All right.
Hooked up.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
You know, we were both at a non-Alouette game, so that shows that
I was hanging out with the double zero crew. Like, I'm friends with, most of them, so I'm sitting with them for most games. Everybody knows the double zero crew.
Yeah, but you?
Absolutely wonderful. Okay, Frank, how about you? How did you start being a CFL? Why did you really? Why do you really enjoy it? What makes it such an attractive experience for you?
Oh my God! I'll try to make that a short story, and I know that both Judith and Serge are laughing right now. it's an interesting story the way I became I might call myself a hardcore Alouettes and CFL fan. I had been watching the game for a long time, for years, but I was always reluctant to go see a game live, and Montreal was the closest for me. And the thing, I was scared by the traffic in Montreal because all I was hearing here from Ottawa is that it was a freaking crazy town.
Crazy.
But years ago, my ex-girlfriend, she got sick, and we needed to drive back and forth to go see a specialist in Montreal. So I had no choice. So that's how I learned that. Oh, it's not that bad after all. I mean, I survived that. So on Thanksgiving in 2010, I attended all by myself my very first Alouette games at Percival Molson, and it was against Calgary, and they got hammered. I mean, not the Alouettes, Calgary got hammered. And it's the game where Ben Cahoon beat that record for the number of catches. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that was my very first game on Thanksgiving. So, and ever since, I then, of course, the Alouettes won their second Grey Cup in a row on that year. And the year after, ever since I attended all home games, and I drive the 2-hour plus ride from Ottawa / Gatineau here to Montreal. And I'm not going to change that because there's a team in Ottawa. The new team in Ottawa is just more football for me. That's all there is to it. But my first allegiance will always be the Alouettes. So. And what I like about the CFL is the dynamic of the three downs. It's a faster pace game. And, I mean, you know, it's cliche to say, but in the CFL, there can be 3 minutes left, and it won't be a knee-down festival. You know, anything can happen in those last 3 minutes, whereas in the CFL, in the NFL, they'll, not to put it down, I mean, I like both leagues, but, I mean, if there's a two-touchdown or three-touchdown difference, when there's like 3 or 4 minutes left, most of the times in the NFL it's over. So that's the dynamic I like about.
Well, I apologize, excuse my French, but when it comes to the NFL and CFL, vive la défense.
Exactly.
Vive la défense. Yeah,
NFL is a bunch of pussies.
Exactly. They're two different. They're two different leagues. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I mean, to me, it's. Not two different sports, two different flavors of football. So
yeah. When you go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I never understand this tendency to, try to put down one league or the other. I mean, it's all football. So let's enjoy it both with their qualities. And, I mean, you know what I mean?
I have a theory. I have a theory when it comes to everything. Okay, we forget sometimes. To use a Judas term, while there are different colors or different uniforms, it isn't just because you like a team or like a league doesn't mean that you necessarily dislike the other team. What it comes down to is actually, the human condition and what people are. So you'll get somebody, a certain type of person who likes the NFL will behave like a certain person. Does. And it puts a label on the NFL, or the same as in reverse with the CFL. I like to think that I'm an accepting person. I don't have anything against the NFL. I just think, for me, the CFL is better. I like the fact that Canadian teams get to win every year. So for me, that's an attraction that in no sport can I claim. There is no sport of any kind of relevance in my mind that has a guarantee that a Canadian team can win.
And one thing I forgot to mention I like about the CFL is it's one of the last few leagues that exists for their fans. I mean, it's more modest than the CFL.
Yes.
I mean, players are not paid millions. We
very fan friendly
in the past few weeks, and the players are so much involved in the community, very available to their fans. We see that in Montreal all the time, and so. But then again, the Montreal Canadiens still rules in Montreal, unfortunately. But I mean, I think football in Quebec is growing there, so people are discovering that, you know, there's more than hockey as a sport. So that's a good thing.
Who would have thought, and especially with Quebecers in the room right now, who would have thought that the Quebec Nordiques leaving Quebec would lead to such a football frenzy since they left?
Well, actually, you know what? I have my theory on the football base getting like bigger and stronger here, because the thing is, before the team folded, it was more Anglophone supporting the team, and after, well, 77, we were struggling with the Anglophone and Francophones, Anglophone minority, a lot of them left, and, you know, there was no fan base to support the team anymore, and now the Francophones are making the fan base grow. There's more Francophones interested into the CFL, and which is awesome. So that's why, like, the fan base is getting bigger and bigger, and that's what I love. So we have, like, Anglophones and Francophones going together to see the games.
Yeah, and the growth of the game being played by French-Canadians is another reason.
Yeah.
The more
French-Canadians
that play, the more people relate to the game. And the biggest thing that I love to say about the CFL is once you go to watch, if you go to watch a game with an open mind, you will really enjoy the game. And it goes down to the modesty that you guys spoke of, which is the price of tickets is not, giving up a child or your life savings to go watch a game, a sporting event. It's manageable economically.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's one thing I don't understand.
Yeah, go ahead, François.
Because it's related to what you just said earlier. I'm there. I'll be quick. There's one thing I don't understand, like, you talk about the 70s. Back in the 70s, the Alouettes, they were putting like over almost like 70,000 people in the Big O. And right now, they can, for some reason, ever since the 2010 Grey Cup, they can sell out the 25,000 seats of the, now it's 24,000 at the Percival Molson. That's what I don't understand. How come in the 70s they were able to fill the Olympic Stadium with like over, I said 70K, but it's probably around 50 or 60K.
What Judith was saying, that there were a lot of more Anglophones than that were supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it was really only the first year at Olympic Stadium they were averaging 60,000.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was dropping 50, 40, 30. So it was like a new toy. It was like a new thing. Everybody loved it.
But, the same thing happened in B.C. We were selling out a 56,000, 60,000 seat stadium in the mid to late 80s regularly, and now it's barely half full.
And the same thing with the Argos.
And it's the larger cities that are helping the market, because the markets are more diverse with more things that are happening. You got soccer, you got football, you got baseball, you got hockey, you've got so much to do in the outdoors and everything else in the big city areas. So, and also, I think immigration into the city, I don't know if it is in Montreal as bad as it is in Vancouver and Toronto, I know, is that there's a lot of non-Canadians who are non-football people there. So,
who's got the radio on?
Not me.
Well, it depends on the community also, because some communities are more into soccer, some communities are more into football, some are more into hockey. And since we have PK Subban on our team, we see like more Asians going to the games and wearing Avs jersey, which is awesome. So I think it really depends, like you're saying, of the community. Some are not interested in some sports.
Relating to the team.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's a lot of truth in that, which goes to the problem. The other problem we have here in Toronto is that essentially what we're talking about is you've got the team is in the emergency ward, and the owner is just trying to keep the team alive. We're really not talking here in Toronto about promoting the team and building the team's image. They're waiting, I guess, we're all waiting patiently for the hope that the sale goes through with the MLSE purchasing the Argos in the hopes that there will be a push to advertise and promote the team in a manner it hasn't been for years. And it's important that promotion be a big part of what a team does. and you're mentioning a PK Subban bringing out fans of different. This isn't just a Canadian phenomenon. It happened in New York with when they had the Asian kid, and I'm sorry, and I feel bad that I don't remember his name.
Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, Jeremy Lin made a big deal everywhere. You know, so.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important that you promote the team and figure out what will bring the fans in. And the first thing that you all said that I agree with 100%, and I think we all know, new stadiums attract new fans. And
exactly.
That's an important factor in advancing
and
the interest in the game.
It's so depressing when you have a 60,000, seat stadium. And you just feel like half of the stadium. It's depressing for the players. It's depressing for the fans because you're like, my stadium is empty, but there's like 20,000 or 20,000 wouldn't be that bad if you would be in a smaller stadium. But you're in such a large stadium that it's like empty, and everybody looks at it on TV and they're like, there's nobody there, but there's actually people, but it doesn't even show because the stadium is so large. That, you know, because I don't think it's fit for football, in my opinion. You would have like a 20, like the BMO, 26,000 seats. It would be perfect for football. And outside, awesome.
Well,
that's just like Edmonton Eskimos, same thing.
Yeah, the image of success is based on how many empty seats there are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why they're building smaller stadiums now. Like the one in Ottawa, I think, is going to be barely 20,000 seats. And in Saskatchewan, how many is it? The
33,000, I think.
Yeah,
33, and I think the Ottawa one's 25, isn't it? 24, 25?
Yeah, 24 would be perfect, yeah.
Yeah, Hamilton and Ottawa are both 24.
Yeah.
Like,
they're
way
too
small. Can I say something?
Yeah, please.
I went to the Calgary-Edmonton Eskimos game last year twice, and they'd be lucky if they averaged 33,000 for those two games. They used to average way more than that, way more than that. And they could fill, 60,000, 58?
Yeah. It's because the Eskimos are
so bad. It seems like it's just going down, and it could be because of their record. I have no idea, but it's which I don't mind, of course, their record, but,
yeah,
but still, come out.
Way to go, Storm.
Just go out and feel your team. Play, don't jump off the bandwagon. Plain and simple.
That's what I wanted to bring. Like, that's a problem we have here in Quebec with the LOF. I can already foresee if they have a few losing seasons, it's gonna have an impact at the gate. I mean, because there's a lot of Fairweather fans, and I remember in the early beginnings, I was kind of shocked because in the early when I started to go to the games, whenever Anthony Calvillo was having a bad game, which did not happen very often, I could hear fans saying, he sucks, I'm not coming back. I mean, I thought to myself, like, hopefully there's not too many people like that, because if you jump off wagon that fast, I mean, you're not a good fan.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though. If Calgary was 3-15 or 15-3, I'd still support them the same year the next they did the year before that one.
Exactly.
I
wish we would have a fan base like Hamilton. Hamilton has an awesome fan base. Like, they've been, or Winnipeg, like, they've been on a losing streak for a little, while, and this year they were better, and they got to the Grey Cup, and they were still supporting their team even though they were like down 2-15, so I really admire fans like that, and I wish that our fan base would look like that. It doesn't
a little bit,
Judith,
little bit, not too much, because the one thing that like or dislike the Montreal fans, the one thing that they've established historically is that if you want them to come, you have to win. And I'm afraid, I disagree with you in the sense that I live here in Toronto, where losing is more than acceptable.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Maple Leafs.
Scholars know that.
Argos.
That was an easy one.
Hey.
Yeah, but what I don't like, Frank, is when people, like, watching a football game, their team's down, say, 14, 17 points, they turn the channel to something else.
Yeah.
Well,
or they leave
that's
the
up
stadium.
To them. That's up to them. I have the same problem when I'm at the game, okay? I cheer from buzzer to buzzer. And then I look around me and people start, oh, well. I look at it this way. If you part of the most important part of the game for me, why I go, is I get to support my team. And if I can, one of the cheerleaders, I went to the I went to the fan fest for the Argos, and the lead cheerleader with the Argos, her name's Jessica. She goes, Frank, I love you at the game. I said, why? She goes, when I'm on the other side of the stadium, I can hear you.
Well, it's very loud in Toronto, so you must be making some noise there.
I understand fans leaving early when their team is down, they're just depressed, they're whatever, and they leave early. I don't understand fans leaving when their team is up. No, you need to stay there and support your team to the end and cheer them on because they did something wonderful for you and you abandoned them?
Yeah.
Well,
and
some people are trying to avoid traffic.
The first thing is parking. That's what I say is parking. It's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, in Montreal, Matt Nichols just got in the game.
It's a shame on them because sometimes they will miss an amazing like comeback. You know, like sometimes we're losing and they're missing. Like François will regret it all his life because he missed the comeback
we
did with
Tyler Martin.
Here we go. Here
that
we
game
go.
Against BC.
No, that's why I have to defend myself here. I have to jump in. what Judith is referring to is that. I don't know if you guys remember that game where Tanner Marsh made the incredible comeback under the rain last year. That was in August, I think.
Against the Lions.
I must remember that one.
He remembers it well. I remember it well.
Yeah. I left at the halftime, and I still regret it today. But but you know why I left? Because some other fans dressed in their corporate suit pissed me off. Because I'm the kind of fan who gets into the game and I make a lot of noise. And those two croonies dressed in their suits under 30 something degrees and under the rain, instead of wearing team colors, you know, they told me at some point, you should stop making noise. They're not doing anything. So I got fed up.
We had people like that when we went to Toronto. Yeah. They did the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh really?
I mean, come on.
You're being too loud.
And that's why I live in Edmonton and I cheer for Calgary. But you know what? I know when to zip it.
Yes. But now I told myself
I'll still cheer for my team, but I just you just don't go and tell someone F off or whatever, blah blah blah. I mean, I paid the ticket, I could watch the game.
That's right.
Okay, guys.
We're
going to take a short break now. I'm going to cut it off here. Let's leave it there for now. Let's take a short break. We'll come back. I'll remind everybody that you're watching listening to Candid Frank, and this is the CFL is the best football in the world. Today we have three special guests, two new ones, all three from the Quebec area. We have Judith, Frank, and, of course, our old friend Serge. And they're they're serenading us with the Montreal football experience, which is always a lot of fun. And I'll tell you something, one quick story before I go to break. There was a nice Montreal fan sitting outside the Argo, the same area where we go in to go to the game, and he was offering people little shots of wine. Well, the police took his bottle. I just, I don't get that kind of thing. But that's okay. And the reason that happened, folks, is because the Rogers Centre complained. We'll back right after this.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. 1, 2, 3. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay!
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
Hopefully there's aspirin on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries?
I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL. We play by our own rules.
Why do you think it takes you guys 4 downs to get 10 yards? We only need 3 up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
They give us one just in case.
I love 4 downs. First down, second down, third down, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe?
Do they have longer legs? Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know, that would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home?
I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
Wow.
You know?
A whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little.
CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
Darn right, go Canada. That's right. You better believe it. Okay, once again, you're listening to Candid Frank. That would be me, and this is the CFL is the best football in the world show, accompanied by, of course, the CFL is the best football in the league group on Facebook. And I want to give honorable mention to the True Double Blue group, which I took over temporarily. And then we've got the Inside the CFL with my buddy Callie Bale. And, of course, let's see, what other promos can we do? Well, we've got, of course, the boat logo. That's right. And we've also got Bruce John Inch here. Stevie's an Argo fan. Bruce John Inch is a Hamilton fan. Storm Schmidt is a Calgary fan living in Edmonton. Serge, of course, is I'm not really sure who he's a fan of. He loves every team. Has season tickets for every team.
Originally an Owls fan, but
Judith is a closet Argo fan. Frank is an Alouette fan. And, of course, then we have another guy I'm not sure who he roots for, but it does vary. It was Winnipeg for a short time, and then it became... let's see. Where are you at now? Where are you at now, Manasseh? As far as which team you're
still
rooting
Winnipeg,
for?
That's my
team. Oh, okay, good. Okay, and BC is represented in the room, in the group by Christopher Jones. Give you guys a chance to get to know the people that are here. Normally, it was really a pleasure listening to all the stuff that you guys had to say. But let's move on with the rest of the group and. Usually, Manasseh has a question, and Manasseh, what's your question of the day?
Well, first, is everybody watching the game? Or
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, so any thoughts on the game? What do you guys think of the quarterback so far?
I'm doing Facebook. I'm doing like five things at once.
Wow. Wow.
Don't hurt yourself. That's tough.
Wow. Good for you.
I got burgers on Facebook, game, and Frank's show.
Yeah,
so
I got everything, but
going.
I got chicken on.
I got burgers. Sorry.
Well, I feel bad because I made a sandwich. Not as big
you
as John
You made it
Granger,
or your wife made it?
No, I made it. My wife's away.
Oh, is she?
She's gone camping with the girl guys.
Ah, super, man. That was always a good time when I went. I always like... it's a family
you were in the
show.
Girl
I'll
guys?
Be quiet.
You were in the Girl Guys?
Girl Guys? Bruce?
No, man. No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to tell
Come
a
on,
joke.
Come on, tell the truth.
It sounded like you were going to say you were going to share your experience as a Girl Guide.
I was in the Boy Scout, so.
Okay, good. I was just going to say maybe there's a history you want to share with us.
No. That's a different story, Frank.
In this case, maybe not.
No.
Yeah, so, okay, we can talk about the football game. I guess it's crawling up to the first half. It's 10-4 the last time I looked. Is anyone surprised by how well Edmonton's defense is playing?
No.
Hmm. No.
I'm not.
Neither am I.
I still think both teams are sloppy, but, I mean, that's preseason for you.
I mean, BC Lions left 25 veterans at home. Edmonton's playing their first stringers.
Edmonton has every player they have under contract on the sideline.
Yeah.
That was an exaggeration, but pretty much. 73 players, I think, they have on the sideline.
Is I was wondering, is it just me, or does John Beck play exactly like Travis Wimmick? Like, they move and everything they do
clones.
Is identical.
They are clones.
Who was that guy before halftime walked away on crutches for Edmonton there? I just seen a glimpse of it.
Oh, they were just replaying with Matt Nichols' injury from last year.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I just thought it happened tonight or something.
The one, Cal, we can talk about both these teams. I last year had high hopes for Edmonton, and they disappointed me, only in the sense that they were so close to winning a few more games than they ended up winning. I really do believe that this is a young and up-and-coming team, and as the boys in here know, and thank you ladies for being in, I'm picking Edmonton to take the third playoff spot in the West. I believe Calgary is in trouble unless they get a quarterback. If they get a quarterback, I will definitely be wrong. All they need is a good quarterback. If Calgary gets a good quarterback, all bets are off on what I just said. But I'm concerned that they're going to be too loyal to those guys.
You know, that's funny that you're saying that, Frank, because I was more worried about the Rough Riders, who lost a lot of their first, strings to the NFL. They lost Dressler, they lost Sander, who went for Calgary because we took Taylor. And, so they lost, a few of good players, so I was more worried for them. And even Corey Chamblin doesn't even seem sure about how good his team will be this year. Jarrell Simon just retired recently, so, I was more worried about them than Calgary. I'm surprised that you're saying that.
Never worry about Saskatchewan because they will erase any deficiency with money.
Yeah, exactly.
The Riders are going to do it. Don't count them out.
I don't know. Have you guys heard the rumor about what they're preparing to offer Corey Sheets record contract for a running back? There's already there's rumors now he's about to get released, and they're thinking about offering him a $300,000 contract, which is the highest contract for a non-quarterback in the history of the CFL.
That's a shitload of money for a sorry for the language. That's a big money for a running back.
A shitload.
But I mean, he was their main cog to that Grey Cup. You know, like. Once he was out of the lineup, they dropped off a cliff.
Well,
and
I have to admit,
guys don't cut out Calgary here too quick because John Hoffnagel will not put up with any Schmidt at all.
Yeah, no,
I get you. Storm is a Calgary fan, and I mentioned that. And the quarterback situation is a key in the CFL. Without a real solid number one quarterback and a credible and an able backup quarterback, you're not going to go to the Grey Cup. We know how tough it is to be a quarterback
exactly.
in the CFL.
Yeah. I'll just phone Glenn right now and see if he'll come back to Calgary.
He won't come back to Calgary. He's staying in BC. And Calgary's quarterback situation is as bad as Winnipeg's.
Oh, come on
now.
Calgary
need to be in the bottom of the league.
Come on,
just as a fan who looks at it like playoff time, it sucks how Calgary doesn't support their team. If Winnipeg was going, the record that Calgary had the last 3 years, their fan base would be just rejoicing. Like, the whole city, the stadium would be packed. You couldn't even get a ticket if you tried.
Well, give Calgary.
I didn't compare the teams. I said the quarterback situation.
Yeah. Yeah, but still, you're both right. And this is my firm belief. This is why I believe that there should never be any sharing of money earned by each team. If Saskatchewan has a fan base and their fan base provides their team with X amount of money, too bad for everybody else. And the reason I believe that is that if you start taking money from teams that are successful and give it to teams that are not so successful, then you're locking in owners who maybe shouldn't be owning the team. And the long-term goal of fans is to have a winning team. Make sure you have the best.
Yeah.
That's just like me being a bartender 20 years ago where I had to share my tips, which I didn't think was fair because... No. I was doing all the work.
There you
go.
Actually,
there are two teams that are sharing money.
Well, no, you're talking about
wouldn't,
the chair.
Wouldn't it be awesome and if in the playoffs, you know, especially this next season, we actually get the fan bases that really care. Like, I'd love to see Hamilton host the East Final, Saskatchewan and Winnipeg and Edmonton, like places where if their teams make the playoffs, the city actually cares and responds. Like,
yeah, there's nothing
I'm
wrong
so
with
sick
that.
Of seeing Calgary not be able to sell out a West Final, like, with only 35,000 seats. I mean, come on. That's crazy, man. If you put a team like a Winnipeg or Saskatchewan or a fan base that would appreciate that, it would have meant something. But, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Well, not, Manasse, to soften what you're saying, I agree with you, by the way. To soften what you're saying, it would be nice to see that the support that fans give their team is rewarded. Not all the time, because we all can't win the championship. At some point you have to let go and understand. Like right now, for me, I'm picking the Argos to win the Grey Cup. Do I mean that seriously? Yes, I do.
I hope not.
But if it doesn't happen, it ain't gonna kill me.
Oh, it's
not
gonna happen. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it would. You know, whatever. You know, all I'm saying is it's nice to have hope, right? And the most important thing that you said, Manasse, to me, is it'd be nice to see that teams aren't locked into losing, you know, and that's why I don't want to see money shared, because as soon as you start sharing money, you start keeping owners afloat that shouldn't be, in my opinion. Just earn your keep is what I say. Let the people who earn the money. Go ahead.
In a way, BC and Toronto are sharing money, the same owner.
But they're
right?
just trying to keep us alive, that's all. They're
trying to
keep us alive.
I wanted to ask from the beginning. Could you imagine if I'm pretty sure the voting today from the owners
was
unanimous?
They agreed.
I'm pretty sure it was unanimous. But could you imagine the power of David Bradley if it would have been close? I mean, he has two voices, right? He has two votes out of nine.
Yeah.
So that's a
he
special
He not only has two votes,
situation.
He has everybody's ear.
Yeah. Everybody owes him money, too. That's what sucks.
But by the way, anyone knows why they didn't make the exact result from the players, the exact vote results, why they didn't make
public?
Them public from the players? Maybe is it to avoid any confrontations or?
Well, yeah, you'll never get the vote public. It will never come out.
Oh, and I don't agree with that either, yeah. No,
you know what? It really doesn't matter. There are some things that can remain
it.
Private, and I think voting should remain private, because if it isn't private, pressure is put on people to change their thinking, and that's not right.
Exactly. No, I agree with that. No, but I thought it would say, okay, which teams voted for it and which team voted against it, but then again, it would create probably a bad atmosphere, I think, in the locker room or something like that. That's what I think, right? It's for stuff like that, probably they didn't release it.
Yeah, the animosity between teams or players or divisions would be huge. It's just, not important. The vote went one way. Let's move on.
It's just dangerous when a player publicly announces that he's not happy, first of all, with the worst of anything, is he's not happy with his union and his rep. That kind of, you know, it's one thing to say you're not happy with the owners, but when you're sitting in Saskatchewan saying things like that, I mean, anybody think about suicide? You know, I mean, it's pretty suicidal to say that kind of stuff. I can understand where it's coming from.
Yes, and look what happened to Nick Lewis. He went out on TV and said he's voting no. And that's not right. He shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Well,
he's not the only one.
A lot of people declare what political party you are, whether you're a conservative or a liberal or Bloc Québécois or whatever, right? A lot of people declare where their vote is. So that's not a big deal what Nick Lewis did. It's just
But nobody should be outed. You know what I mean? Like nobody.
Well, actually, Ricky Foley was on Saskatchewan radio talking about how they needed to get rid of the executives, because he said a lot of the leaders, he didn't want to name specific people, but he said they were using the union dues to go to Las Vegas and use the money to splurge buying drinks. Apparently, guys were using it basically as vacation money. And
That's not right.
So he said there's a big bombshell that's about to be dropped soon, and rumors are that it's including Scott Flory, Marwan Hage, several of the player reps and executives, and potentially Ed Molstad as well. So there's a lot of stuff about to come out in a week or so.
But this is a rumor at this point. This is a rumor at this
point.
Well,
I mean, Ricky Foley came out on the record on the radio saying this was a fact. They just felt they needed the right time to officially, you know, make it public.
And he's attributing to that as an explanation for the poor showing in the agreement. The poor result. He's associating.
Oh yeah, that, and he was also upset because the union, the CFLPA, wanted to raise the union dues on the players. And he thought that was uncalled for, and he said, regarding, you know, based on how they were using their funds, he felt like that was wrong, and he felt like it's necessary to get it out in the public what they've been doing with all the union money that's been collected.
Yeah,
that's just rumor mill. What I really don't understand is why didn't they start to negotiate earlier, like right after the Grey Cup? Why did it wait? Did they wait so long and put a lot of uncertainty in? For this season, because I live right across Ottawa, and you know what? The city should be, like, all about football right now. But it's not happening because I think there was too much uncertainty the past few days. Now, apparently, the opener is going to be sold out. That's a good thing, but, I mean, you don't feel... I mean, I go to Ottawa, and I don't feel the football vibe as it should be. I mean, new stadium, new team. I know the name sucks, Red Blacks, but I mean, it is what it is. The brand that they've done around it is good. So, but I think the concept,
I like the Red Blacks. I like the Red Black name.
Well,
and I think that it sounds better in French, doesn't it?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
it's
awesome. And they're really making, if I'm intervening here, they're making a strong pitch to try to, strong effort to try to develop on this side of the river, because, like, they held their, I went there last week while I attended half of the game because I had something to do after, but they held their mock game on the Quebec side here on a nice football field in a high school. And there were, the stands were full, and Mike Sutherland was the host. The GM, Marcel Desjardins, spoke a few words to the fans before, so it was very well done. So I think they're, because the previous, I mean, whether it was the Renegades, well, yeah, I don't, just the name Renegades giving me the chicken puck, but they didn't make that effort to try to develop on this side of the river, but I think Jeff Hunt is really aware that it's a market that needs to be developed, so they're doing all kind of efforts.
And exposed.
Yeah, it's right across the border, and it's not like...
It's not difficult.
It's not difficult. It's not like the Senators where the Canadian Tire Center, the previously the Scotiabank, is in the middle of nowhere, and it's really a pain to get there. I mean, it's on right on Back Street, lots of restaurants around it. I mean,
well,
the project is good.
As a resident of Gatineau, you know that there were a lot of people that complained about that decision, and they even had to build an off-ramp to go to the stadium.
Yeah.
So
exactly,
it was always a bad decision from day one.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's just because Firestone had some lands there that he wanted to exploit. So
exactly.
It was all about money. Yeah. Anyway,
and so the long term good was lost because of the short term thinking, and that's what Jeff Hunt does. He thinks long term. He's in the game.
He's good.
Yep.
Yeah. And I really hope that I really wish success to Ottawa, and of course they want to develop on this side of the river. I just hope for them that not all the football fans from the Quebec side here in Gatineau are like me, because I'm a Lalouette for life, so I'm not going to be a turncoat, but there's nothing wrong with me attending. I mean, I'm a fan of the Alouettes, yes, but above anything, I'm a fan of the CFL. So there's nothing wrong with encouraging both teams. Financially. I mean, so like I said earlier on, it's just more football for me. So that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't
and
have to.
The CFL did a great job
Montreal.
With the schedule too.
Exactly.
The CFL made
like
the schedule help the team out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you're saying, François, we know that the health of the franchise in Ottawa could be fragile because, you know, I told it twice, and we don't want that to happen again.
Yeah.
So I'm also going three times, and I have a friend who cheers for Hamilton, but she'll be going to a few games because she lives near Ottawa. So, you know, that's just – and I know two Argos fans who are now living in Ottawa, and they have season tickets for the Red Flag.
It's really central.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Just to support the team, to support them financially, and to make them like really healthy, because we want the league to be healthy. Like, I don't mind going to Toronto and the Skydome and spending some money on, you know, like over there, you know, because I want the Argos to be healthy. Even though I don't like them, I want them to stay in our league. You know, I don't want it to get smaller. I want it to get bigger.
Does anybody like them? But isn't that? It is really. I'm always enamored with the way fans in the CFL are. You know, the players are great. We know that. But so are the CFL fans. There is no greater event than the Grey Cup in Canada. There is nothing as great as that. And wherever they go, the rest of the fans show their loyalty and support, just like you're speaking, Judith, exactly like you're saying right now.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, even though... And that was a shame, because I knew some people in Toronto who sold their tickets because they were unhappy. Their team didn't make it to the Grey Cup, so they sold their tickets. And I was like, this is not the meaning of the Grey Cup. The Grey Cup is reuniting the whole country, all Canadians together, and, you know, like going strong and cheering all together, even though that's not our team playing on the field. We're just happy to be there with friends and sharing great memories.
And when it's not your own team, it takes away a lot of stress. So
exactly.
To use a French word and an English word that sound the same are a little bit different, but really all that the Grey Cup is salute to the game of the Canadian Football League. You know, Canadian football, it's a celebration of the game, Canadian Football League game. And it is fun, too, because it's amazing. What I enjoy the most, and Storm, you can vouch for this or not, there are also teams in the West who come east to play in the Grey Cup who have no support when the Grey Cup is played, because Calgary fans refuse to cheer for Edmonton. Toronto fans refuse to cheer for Hamilton fans. And that's where the line is drawn, I think, in most cases. Otherwise, everybody loves every other team.
That was very funny. In 2012, we were sitting with a bunch of Rough Riders fans, and they were like, hell no, I'm not cheering for Calgary. I hate their guts, and I'm going to cheer for Toronto.
That's the same way on Calgary.
Exactly.
I wasn't cheering for no Toronto on Monday, that's for sure. They pulled it out.
Speaking of West teams coming to the East, do you think that now that there's 5 teams in the West and 4 teams, I haven't done the math, but now that there are 5 teams in the West and 4 teams in the East, do you think that the odds of having a crossover are higher?
I actually heard something from the commish saying that once they get that 10th team in the Maritimes or Quebec City, whichever one comes first, they're going to scrap the crossover rule once they get that 10th team in. And I can't wait. Because isn't it horrible seeing like a Western team playing? Like, I remember BC at Montreal in the East Final in 2008, or I think 2009.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible.
I remember that. I'd love to see Calgary and Edmonton in the Grey Cup. I would love to see that.
Yeah, only people in Alberta would.
Or Hamilton.
In Canada.
Right. Like,
but you know what?
I feel like the Grey Cup has to be East versus West. Like, it just
Okay, take a step back. I agree with you all. I agree that, you know, the Grey Cup is East-West final. That's what it should be. But, you know, it's kind of interesting and unique that you could actually have two teams that you don't expect to meet in the Grey Cup to meet in the Grey Cup. I mean, yeah, it's true. It's very selfish for a Calgary fan to say, yeah, okay, Calgary and Edmonton in the Grey Cup. But I would love to see the same selfishness, Bruce and I, at the Grey Cup cheering for two different teams. You know, Hamilton and Toronto.
We don't have to ever worry about
an Eastern team crossing over. That'll never happen.
And the odds of it happening is so slim to none.
I hear you.
Especially now that there are 5 teams in the West,
I mean, didn't we already have it in 2007? We had Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, and then 2011 we had BC and Winnipeg, and both those Grey Cups sucked.
Well, it doesn't, and I think for the reason that you said, you know, I think you're 100% right for the reason that you said, is that it doesn't feel like a Grey Cup if it's not East versus West.
Oh, exactly.
You know.
Totally agree.
It just it seems like something went wrong, you know? It just doesn't, feel right.
So speaking of that, since we have our three new people, who do they think is going to be in the Grey Cup this year?
It's quite early to say that, but of course I would love to see Montreal there, but I think that, I think Hamilton's going to be a big threat again this year because of the way they played and their coach is amazing. I really wanted Ken Austin to win Coach of the Year. I was disappointed that he didn't, but probably he's going to achieve it this year. And for the West, well, it's kind of hard to say now, but maybe BC, maybe, I don't know.
Exactly.
He comes back from his injury there and he gets stronger, they're going to be a big
fan. And they have Glenn.
So they can put a big sign over the BC place or whatever it's called today, you know, this is the Pussy Bowl.
Maybe.
Well, it's been a lucky charm. Frank, for 3 years in a row, charm to host the Grey Cup. Because every team that were hosting the Grey Cup since 3 years, their team has been going and winning the Grey Cup. So maybe it's going to be their lucky charm for this year again.
BC has already won at their place. So,
This could be.
And who did I say, Frank? I said BC and Ottawa.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I think that's a
good get that Schmidt out of here.
Everybody's
the greatest miracle in the history of the CFL.
I'll change DC to Calgary and Ottawa.
Better? If you're going to have a daydream, might as well have a good one, Mr. Schmidt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've lost those.
Nobody knows.
All of our allies are in Hamilton. You guys are in total agreement that you're picking Hamilton to come out the East?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I beg to disagree.
There you
more,
go.
You picking Frankie?
Yeah, well, first I need help from Judith here. Judith? How do you say fruit pie in English? You know the expression?
Who's played?
I 1 year wonder. Okay, I got it. No, because I think the Hamilton Tiger Cats have a very strong chance to go back to the Grey Cup. Because it all depends on Collaros. I mean, was he a one-hit wonder, is he going to be able to play as well as he did when he replaced Ricky Ray last year? It all depends if he was a 1 year wonder. You know what I mean? So,
or if he's for real. If he's for real.
I hope so. I would hope that my Alouettes would be in the Grey Cup, but there's too much uncertainty, and I think it's a rebuilding year. And now, just last week, there's a lot of instability. Just last week, they fired their OC, and they replaced him with Dinwiddie, who's 33 years old, I think. And he's very inexperienced. I mean, he's not the official OC, I think, but, I mean, he's going to call the plays. So there's a lot
Know who's the official OC, right?
It's the head coach, I think. You mean the...
The offensive line coach that's going to make most of the calls.
I think it'll be Pop.
I
think Pop will be the official OC.
You think he's going to call
You guys are done.
I find it interesting that you think that Montreal's rebuilding, because when I look at Montreal, I mean, they have the best defense in the East, maybe the best defense in the CFL, and then you look at their offense. They have the best receiving core. They have running back monster with Brandon Whitaker coming back. You got Terrell Sutton. You still have Jerome Messam. You know, re-signed Josh Bork on your O-line. It's really just Troy Smith. I mean, if
Smith and Caleros
got
a better shot.
Technically, Montreal's the better team, because if you look at the total team, Troy Smith can't fail. He's surrounded by weapons. And then he has the best defense in the Eastern Division.
Yeah.
I admit he's surrounded by super great receiver. You have Daron Carter. You will have Chad Johnson, who's going to be there. We have SG Green. We have Demel Richardson, who's going to come back. I admit, like, we have great receivers, and we've been fortunate with that.
I don't want to disappoint you, Judith, but I'm not sure Chad Johnson will make the team.
Ochochinko?
What?
He's going to make the team. Come on.
I'm not sure.
He's looking so hard
Saturday.
He's
going to be taken out.
Are you sitting there saying Claros is better than Troy Smith?
No, I'm saying they're both equal. Like, they're both on the same kind of precipice.
Yeah.
They're on the same road.
They're both
road.
Kind of question marks right now.
Yeah, they're neither of them are guaranteed, but there's a lot of upside.
I just don't agree with Claros, but, I mean, that's just my opinion.
Well, listen, his coach is a master of game plans,
and he
brings out the best in people. So, you know, it's not just about Claros. And I happen to think that Montreal has a history of a great quarterback. I don't know Montreal without a great quarterback, and I don't believe that they would bring in a guy that won't be a great quarterback. So, you know, Tanner Marsh isn't a bad quarterback, and Smith.
Tanner Marsh is very good.
You know.
Oh, come
exactly.
on, Tanner Smith. Tanner Marsh is overrated. He had one good game,
the miracle game against
BC, and that's it.
We all agree that miracle game was won by the defense. If we really look at it that way, because he had four interceptions in the last quarter, he was so lucky to get the ball back all the time.
Your linebacker.
Frank, I like her. She's a good fan.
I know
she is. She knows her stuff for real.
She absolutely does.
We all agree that the Eastern Final this year is going to be Montreal and Hamilton, right?
We need more women in the CFL cheering for the CFL.
Absolutely.
There are plenty.
It's very open. I really like it because I never feel like, you know, like when you're a girl and you get into a sport conversation with guys, a lot of time you have to prove yourself and be like, I'm not the dumb girl. Like, I know my stuff. But with football, usually people accept you right away and there's no problem with that. Hockey, they're still like closed mind. But with football, I never had a problem with that, and that's what I really appreciate. I never felt like people were closed mind because I was a girl. So... That's a great thing. Well, we're open-minded about everything.
It does
happen,
unfortunately. It does happen.
Yeah.
Well, Serge today told me to be nice to you, otherwise you're going to beat me up. So I've been in the corner being real quiet.
Well, Seth wanted to sing to you the Argo theme song because he said that you would like to hear it.
Okay, go ahead. Sing. I can't wait to hear the Argo theme. I'm scared to death, but go ahead. Do it.
Judith is going
to
think I
have
to hang up.
Are you starting, Sales?
Are you just getting the 8-track ready?
You're getting the 8-track ready?
I'm going to sing along with you, Sales.
There you go. And now, the Argo Cheer theme song.
Go ahead, Serge. He's not starting.
Uh-oh.
I mean, he's going to make me look stupid and make me sing it by myself.
You really think Serge is going to sing?
He was supposed to do it. Okay, I'm going to start.
Serge
I'm
gonna
is start.
Gone.
I just hope he joins
Serge
me.
Serge is gone.
He's gone?
Wow. Yeah, I just realized
that's
he's fright. Gone.
Wow.
Son of a gun.
Okay, I'm going to sing
I got
it,
his phone. Yeah, Serge is gone. That's why he's not answering you. I just realized. He dropped.
Yeah.
And
probably his phone battery went dead.
Well, I could phone his home, and then he doesn't even have to pay long distance.
But do this. We can sing the Alouette song, eh?
Alouette,
a game you don't want to play. First you take a guard. Never mind.
Yeah, let's not go there.
You know what? There's one thing, though. Maybe that's why they're calling me the closet Argo fan, because I really tremendously love the Argo song. It's an amazing song. Like, I mean, I wish we would have a great song like that. It's just like you get into the stadium, you hear the Argonauts playing, and you just get pumped for the game, you know?
You don't remember the song I started when the Alouettes scored touchdown in Guelph in that crazy game on the fan train?
Montréal.
No?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do. Oh, wow. Okay.
So are we going to sing this song or not, man?
Yes, yeah, so we're all waiting for it.
Yeah, you guys have laid it out there. You got to do it.
Okay,
yeah,
so I'm going to do it. Do you want to join me, François?
I don't know the Yager song.
Okay, so
if somebody knows the lyrics.
Frank, you help her out here.
If somebody knows the lyrics, you just sing along with me.
I'll see the other part.
Yes, I say Candid Frank, the Yager song.
How are we starting?
One, two, three, four.
Go Toronto, Argos, go. Pull together, fight the fall. Go and touch out for the blue on blue. The Argos will win for you. Full of fight and courage, you cannot stop. They pile the points until they reach the top. Pull together till the Grey Cup's won. Go Argos, go. Love that song. Amazing song.
And yes, congrats.
Well done.
Beautiful job. Beautiful.
I agree. With a song
job.
Like that, it should be filling the Rogers Center.
Of course.
Yes, actually, when you leave the game, it's played out. When you go to the game, it's played out front by the Argo band. And I'm sorry, I don't know the lyrics, so I admit.
Oh, wow. On the way home.
Oh, Frank, what is that?
I don't know the lyrics.
When
I'm not a singer.
When
I go to church every
game.
Sunday, I've given up. People look at me weird when I sing with the hymn, and I don't do a very good job, and it embarrasses me to even admit that I do not have a singing voice, and this group would be broken up into tiny little pieces if I started to sing. So, no, not going to happen.
Do some of you guys watch WWE wrestling? Modern WWE.
When I was younger.
You'll know why I won't. Huh?
What?
When I was younger.
Is any one of you watching WWE wrestling?
What?
There's.
No.
He's talking about anyone watching WWE wrestling.
What?
Come on, Steve Austin.
Oh,
okay,
my gosh.
More modern. It took me a while to catch. Yeah.
There you go. What?
No, because there's a wrestler now. He's, I think it's Daniel Bryan, and he started this thing with the hands up in the air and everybody screaming yes. So I would love that if after a win of the Elvis, everybody would get out of the stadium and screaming yes like Daniel Bryan. But I think it's something that's going to be tough to start. I mean, I always want to start new trends. So, but that's kind of copied. Yeah, so no, that's wrong.
Oh, it's fine. New ideas are always good.
Yeah, I know.
Put your hands up.
Well, Bruce has an Argo.
Don't go in there.
Bruce has an Argo
Who
cheer,
took
too.
The dogs out? Roof, roof.
I got the best Argo cheer. Nobody blows like an Argo.
There you go.
That's the best one.
Now,
Bruce, you could do an Oski Wee Wee for us.
Oski Wee Wee.
Oski
Wawa. Oski
Wawa.
Holy Mackinac.
Holy Mackinac.
Tigers.
Yes. Damn
raw.
Rawr,
rawr, rawr.
I should have my little top hat.
There you go. Okay, here. I got 30 seconds, guys. This is a commercial. This is a commercial for the BC Lions in reference to the Montreal Alouettes. Please do not be offended, but here we go.
Montreal, you used to be winners. Now you're just whiners. Boo-hoo, we are different. We are French. Shut up. You're not even real French anyway, like those guys from Denmark, man. In Vancouver, we're real. Yeah, the championship BC Lions are really going to kick some Alouette butt. Boutine sucks. BC rules.
CFL, the rivalry lives on.
Now, that sound you heard at the end was a couple of Montreal Alouettes punching the bejesus out of the guy.
It's actually funny because it's true. We're not real friends. So.
No.
I don't know. I've been in Vancouver for 52 years. I've never heard anybody talk like that. So,
tell them more
I don't
like
know where that stereotype came from.
Oh, it's all stupidity, built on stupidity. And that's the way it goes in life, guys. That's just the way it is.
That's okay.
Here's one.
Those still suck.
Here's,
and
here's
it's true that we're whiners in Quebec.
Oh.
Oh.
Actually, it doesn't really bother me. You know, like, I've been to Grey Cup, and, you know, like, some people, they make fun of your team. You're wearing your jersey, and I heard rude comments, and, you know, it's not pleasant. But, I mean, for overall, people are pretty friendly, and you have to live with, like, jokes like that. It's not a big deal.
When you realize it's the minority, right? When you realize
yeah,
the
minority. Yeah, it's a minority.
I've been to many Grey Cups. I haven't seen many Alts fans. So whenever we see each other, we're like, "Hey, you're an Alts fan." But yeah, no, we're a minority. Like most of the people we see are like Riders fans.
Judith, what he meant is that it's a minority of people who don't treat us nice. I mean, most of the people are nice.
Oh yeah,
I think that's what they meant.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I think it happened like once that somebody said a rude comment, but beside that, like everybody was super nice and very lovely.
There's a guy, you know, I think in a McDonald's, I think some crazy lady thought they were going to kidnap their kids or something like that, because they were speaking French. But like I said, I mean, this is the exception. That's not the norm. I mean, not everybody is.
So we would all hope so.
Well, no. Again, I repeat what I said before. It's the human experience. The person within taints the image of like football or anything else in life. Being French is being French. Being English is being English, and it's what's inside you that makes you whatever you are. You know,
exactly.
Not
personally. I don't have any language barriers. If I could speak Mandarin with a Chinese person, I would. It's just that I don't have time to learn it. But like. Because when you put language barriers to yourself, then you limit your. You know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
When you put yourself on language barriers, then you're very limiting your own self. So that's not. Lots of people don't understand
I'm lucky.
That in Quebec.
I'm lucky. I speak Italian, which means that I can speak to a lot of Spanish Latino people, and they understand me, and I understand them. They have to talk real slow.
Very similar languages.
They have to
and
talk
And that's very
real
good
slow.
For you. You're richer men because of that. It's very nice to be able
it
to
is.
Speak to people in their own language. It is very comforting, and you feel great about
also,
it. You're like, I spoke to this person in their language.
And Judith, what's really good? What's really nice when you're sitting on the subway and they're talking about you and saying nasty things about you, and then you respond to them in their language.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You're around, you're like, what?
that's priceless. Yeah.
That's the main reason why, and that's why it's so nice to speak more than one language.
Exactly.
Just going to bring that up. So
busted.
True.
Busted.
So true.
All right, let's get back to football, and just for the folks who've just joined us, we have a couple of extra guests here from Quebec, and the host left unceremoniously because his cell phone ran out of juice.
Wow!
And we
Frank,
missed
you're
you
still here.
Yeah. Okay. So okay, I'm trying to understand what that comment meant, but okay. So we're here, and we've discussed what it's like to be an Alouette fan in Quebec. We've discussed what it's like to be an Alouette fan just outside Ottawa. We've had a chance to talk about the fact that stadiums nowadays in the CFL is the decision to, you know, downsize the expectation of how many fans, they're shooting for. I think the one point we didn't make, guys, and can we agree also that with the less seats they have, the more they can charge when interest does go up?
Well, yeah, that's
you.
Yeah.
I
can almost guarantee you my season tickets will go up.
I don't know.
30% next year.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but that's going on all over here in America. Like all the new arenas, all the new football stadiums, they're reducing capacity because they can't compete with the at-home experience,
that's
which
right.
is, you know, as great as it's ever been. So.
You know
in Montreal,
they're removing about 1,000 seats this year at Percival Molson. It used to be 25,000. It's going to be around 24,000. I think they've taken away all the seats from the end zone that's right beside the McGill College or University, whatever. And
yeah.
What they're doing with it is nice because it's a they're making it like a common area where there's going to be new concessions, new food. Like you'll be able to use like full course bandwidth. So and it's really a place where fans will be able to gather during the game. And also, it will allow to do a circle. Or, you know what I mean? Like full access to the stadium like, without
to be able to go all the way around.
Exactly. That's what I meant. Yeah,
exactly.
To go all the way around. Because
yeah,
it's
a direct route to your
seat. Sure.
A more direct route to your
seat. Yeah, exactly.
So,
myself, I think a good fan base for every team should be around 35,000 to 38,000.
But the CFL Stadium? Right now can't bring that kind of crowd in, generally speaking, with all seats.
No. Right at this time anyway. You know, but like you say, you wait until Toronto gets a new home, and that's going to strengthen that organization up.
Calgary needs a new home.
Yeah, Calgary does big time, but they'll get one. I mean, now that the Flames...
Yeah, but you know what? Do you know why Calgary's not getting one right now? Is because since 1971... They've been under the University of Alberta College, whatever the heck you want to call it, leased under them.
For
how many years, I don't know more, but about that. So they can't really move or they can upgrade,
actually,
but that's about it.
They can now. They have an option lease now.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know if any of you guys on the panel here ever been to Calgary. Where the heck are they going to move that stadium to build a new one?
But guys,
they're trying to do it downtown.
There's not a lot of room there unless it's out of town.
what
guys,
do you think that the
attendance problem would be because of the schedule? Because I'm thinking in Montreal, we used to play a lot of games on Thursday night. And it would be crowded, but I mean, it's not the perfect time to play a football game. They're playing at 7 o'clock, and it's, you know, the games go up to 10 o'clock, and then you have to drive all the way home. So you think that if we had schedules like the Rough Riders are always playing during the weekend, if everybody was playing only during the weekends and maybe Friday night, do you think we would get more people to get to the games?
Absolutely,
people playing on the weekends.
We have the problem here in Toronto.
I'm looking at Montreal's schedule right now. All of your games are Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The only game Monday night game for Thanksgiving. That's it.
Big issue with Toronto, you get you. The big issue with Toronto is you.
Sorry.
Speaking.
You're at Brady's night. You go ahead.
Judith.
The big issue with Toronto is, like Frank said, you get games all, you know, like they're trying to fit you between, like, day's games, so you get to play, like, on Tuesday and on Wednesday, and it doesn't even make sense to play on a Wednesday, you know, when you're in Toronto.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, it's
totally
horrible. It's horrible.
And Saturday games, I mean, Saturday isn't that more for reserved for university games. Saturday is like NCAA and not NCAA, but the CIS or whatever. I mean, it's university football Saturday, I think, but that's why there's no games on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, guys, are you aware, and is it the case in Quebec that are you big NFL fans? Because people here are surprised, and I think that's the one thing that I educated Manasseh on is, the numbers on television are very good for the CFL, even directly against the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of which, what do you guys think about John Bon Jovi wanting to buy the Bills and moving them to Toronto? If that happens, I'm burning all my Bon Jovi CDs.
No, if that happens, that's it. The Argos would have to
move
to the Maritimes or something.
No.
Not gonna happen.
Honestly, that'll never happen that way. If the NFL moves into Toronto, it will be with the blessing of the CFL and a guarantee that the CFL team. Guaranteed.
Hang on, just stop for a second, okay? John Bon Jovi's net worth is $300 million. Okay, it is against the rules in the NFL for a corporation to own a team. It has to be an individual. John Bon Jovi cannot own the team because he doesn't have. If he had put every penny he owned in it, he still wouldn't own half of the Bills. So there's much more people lined up ahead of him.
Yes, there's
and they don't
Rogers,
want to bring it to Toronto.
Ted Rogers' son. Ted Rogers' son. What's his name? Tannenbaum with the Leafs. I don't know if you can have a multiple. Well, actually, you can because isn't Green Bay a community-owned team?
Yes.
Yeah, that's who John Bon Jovi's group contains. It's Larry Tannenbaum's in his group. He has three or four other people.
Yeah.
It's like six people together. They're bringing the Bills to Toronto. That's a guarantee. It's going to be by 2025 the Bills are going to be in Toronto. That's already a done deal.
Don't you think that from the moment an NFL team enters Canada, it's the beginning of the end for the CFL? If not
at all. I don't agree with that at all.
I disagree with that at all.
It'd be the beginning and the end of Toronto. I think the CFL would be fine. The Argos would just have to move to another city. Or like move out to the suburbs or something.
They would still be alive.
I don't agree with that. I think you're just going to create more football fans.
That's all you're going to do.
No.
And if
you're
can't
not
afford
about the, you're not thinking about the sponsor
okay,
side.
Think
that's
about
what
this, Canase, okay? Nobody can afford a Canucks team. You know, the blue-collar workers out here cannot afford Canucks hockey teams. But we all go, but the rest of us go to the Vancouver Giants, right? Or the Abbey
they
Heat.
Do well
because
there.
We still
they
are
do well.
Really?
Still football fans or they're still hockey fans. So that's what's going to happen in Toronto. Yeah, they're going to do the NFL, and those who can't afford it will go to the Argos, or the Argo Corp fans will always be Argo fans.
And
it will not be the death of the Argos. Anybody that says that doesn't
know
what
they're
talking
about.
But I
mean, Chris, like, in all honesty, if the Argos are losing $3 to $5 million a year now with no NFL, what's going to happen when the NFL shows up?
Well, that's the point.
There's
going to
be more football
fans. Hang on a second. Let me have the ball for a second. Manasseh is 100% right that advertising dollars are all going to run towards the NFL just because it's the NFL. Now, having said that, you're talking about an organization, the NFL, that's probably one of the most expensive sporting endeavors in at least anyway in North America, and it'll compete with the world for the value of each team. And supporting a team in Toronto, being a Toronto NFL team, that's going to be chump change, man. That's like a tip. I mean, you know, that's all they're going to do. They're going to guarantee, because the NFL doesn't want to be the organization that comes here and kills CFL. They don't want nothing to do with that. Believe me when
Chris,
I say that.
They already
that.
Did
the
in Baltimore, remember? There was
yeah,
a great
happened?
Baltimore
and
CFL franchise, and the NFL showed
but
up,
but that's
and they killed
a different
it.
Story. But that's an American city. That's an American city. That's not a Canadian city. That's not a Canadian
the NFL
city.
Bailed, the NFL lent money to the CFL when they were doing
to survive.
Bad, right?
Yeah.
Trust me,
they want them to live. And trust me again, they've had difficulty replacing the CFL. They've tried to. It never worked. We're indestructible because it's the Canadian League. You know what
I hope you're right.
No, I know.
I think
I'm right.
And more you look at the facts, the CFL is a Western Canada thing. I don't think it's ever really Eastern Canada, I just feel like they haven't embraced it yet.
But
they
you're
still,
ignoring Hamilton.
I don't know.
You're ignoring Hamilton. You know,
Hamilton's the exception, not the rule.
I understand.
You know?
I understand that, and you're right. Right now, the way it appears,
Hamilton has still had a problem with fans.
Yeah, everybody has problems.
The fans
with
that
fans.
They have are great.
We can't forget that Calgary's having problems with fans now. Saskatchewan had telethons to bring the team back a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so let's stop thinking that take a picture today, it ain't going to be what it looks like tomorrow, you know. You can try if you want to believe in that.
That was because the team was losing and then there wasn't a strong corporate base in Saskatchewan. You know, you got to factor that in as well. So
that's how they got the
economy has grown, you know.
They got nothing else to cheer for but a dead gopher on the road.
Well, they mourn those. They mourn those.
They probably eat them. But then, anyways, I wasn't called for. But
oh,
anyways.
God, here we go.
Roadkill pizza.
Yeah, roadkill, yeah.
All right. We're winding down. And so the season, we started with this conversation. The way things look today, I'm sticking with my picks. I'm saying Saskatchewan in first, BC in second, Edmonton in third. I'm saying Hamilton in first, Montreal in second, Toronto in third. How do you feel about that, Christopher? You got your picks? As the things look today, moving forward
BC,
for the
Calgary,
season.
BC, Calgary, Edmonton. Hamilton, Montreal, Ottawa.
Okay. And go ahead, Manasseh.
No, it's same. It's almost the same as U.S. ranking. It's Hamilton 1, Montreal 2, Toronto 3, and in the West, Saskatchewan 1, BC 2, and Winnipeg will be the third seed in the West. Yes, sir.
Interception, Edmonton.
No, BC.
Okay, Frank, how about you, buddy? Frank, how about you?
I see Hamilton first if Collaros is not a one-year wonder. I see Montreal second and Toronto third and Ottawa last in the East. Again, for Montreal, my only concern, I mean, they could even they could finish third, and even they could be a victim of the crossover because I'm really worried about their coaching on the, especially on the offensive side. Because you can have the best defense, but if they can, if the offense cannot do anything because they're badly coached, then I mean, there's a lot, because it's the second year in a row where it's almost now a new corpse of coaches, so. It's always an adaptation, I guess, to the players, but they're not the only team on that boat. And in the West,
you know,
I think I see BC finishing first, Calgary, and Saskatchewan third.
Okay.
Maybe Edmonton fourth, and Winnipeg last.
Judith. Ouch. Judith?
Yes.
Your turn.
Oh, well, like I said before, I see BC finishing first, and... it would be, in my opinion, it would be BC, Calgary, and then probably Edmonton. And for the East, it would be, I don't know, like everybody's placing the Argos third. I don't think they're going to be, I don't know, I don't have that feeling, but I would say Hamilton, probably Montreal or Toronto, and then for the third place. I don't see the Ottawa Red Blacks making the playoffs this year. I think they're a young team. They need to work, you know, like the chemistry between the players, so I don't think it's going to work out for them for this season. They could be a threat. I don't know. We'll see how it's going to work. I don't think they're going to be that bad, like at the bottom, like Winnipeg was. So I think they're going to be a bigger threat than Winnipeg was last year for us.
Ottawa could mix the cards at the end of the season because that's where they're going to start, maybe to have a better cohesion. I don't know.
Storm?
That's just my 2 cents.
Maybe.
You already said your 2 cents? Bruce?
Yeah.
In the East, I'm going to go Hamilton, Montreal, Toronto, and Ottawa. And out West, I'm going to go with BC, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And what, Saskatchewan,
Saskatchewan last?
I forgot about Saskatchewan. So we'll put Saskatchewan in third.
There you go.
Keep my listening.
As far as the crossover goes, Frank, I don't think you have that much to worry about Montreal losing out if they finish third in the East. The reason being, I happen to think that Winnipeg and Edmonton have made a lot of improvements, and there's going to be a lot of losses all over the place because I think that Western Division is far more balanced than it's been in a long time.
So it's going to be a tight race.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tight in the sense that there won't be enough wins for the fourth place.
Yeah,
team.
Yeah.
That kind of tight.
Okay.
What about the East? What do you think, Frank? The echo's back.
Yeah, I'll find it.
It's done.
Now. Yeah, so what
and
do
I'll
you
bring
think?
It back. There. I know it's Bruce. Okay. So basically, in the East, the thing of the East is that Hamilton, it looks first. And I really do have a lot more faith in Montreal than you guys do. I'm with Manasseh on this. Your Montreal Alouettes are very close. And you must admit, and I don't think it's a shame to admit this, you guys came very close to making it to the Grey Cup. You could have been in Toronto.
Officiating call.
Okay, well, aside from the officiating call, even without the difference of the officiating call, even not considering that, Montreal could have won that game as easily as they lost it. And
the weather.
Yeah, exactly. The weather
right
didn't
game,
help.
Boys.
I was at the game in Guelph.
And
I was.
From your position, did it look like you had a chance to win?
Oh, yeah.
Touchdown, BC!
That's what I just said.
Game.
Oh, yeah, I believed it way until the end. I really thought that I was on my knees. I wasn't there. I was in Guelph like Francois and Jeff, but I was on my knees in my living room and praying that I will win.
You know what? You know that field goal that was missed because of the win? It was really strange. Like, the ball stopped and just went down. You know
yes,
what I mean?
That was awesome.
But I was right. Yeah, it almost looked supernatural, and I was right in front of it. But that's where I was sitting, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Like, I've never
wow.
seen anything like that. Like,
I had to watch it. I had to watch it 10 times. I couldn't believe it.
It was awesome.
Sean,
it was awesome. I've never seen anything like it.
No,
well,
never, ever.
Did you guys think that? Did you think that the last play of the game was that pass interference on Daron Carter, or was that? Or what were your thoughts on that last call?
I wasn't close enough, so I could, it was at the other end, and I think it was the fan in me says it was interference, but like imagine if it would happen this year, I think they would because these can be reviewed now. I think, eh?
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't make us win the game. I mean, like, there's bullshit calls in every game. So I really hate to blame the referees for a loss because I'm like, you could have done it way before. So I know, like, this call was bullshit, you know, like, didn't call it and it was bullshit. But still, you know,
whoa,
like,
whoa,
you
language.
Didn't win. Not because only of the referee, because they outplayed us at one point. So that's just how it works. I think some days it will be against us, some days it will be in our favor. So I really hate blaming the referees for
no.
us.
Yeah, but you know, Judith, please try not to swear. The thing of it is, though, the objective of a game is to keep the integrity of the game alive, you know, and if there are bad calls that are being made, it's important to find a way to eliminate them, and this pass interference rule that they have now will help the integrity of the game, in my opinion, because quite frankly,
yeah.
You know, I hate when people say, I understand what you're saying, like the Don Cherry principle, where it's better if the referees don't make a call. Well, I'm inclined to think not only do calls that help a team, you know, help them to win, but calls against a team help them to lose. You know, it's a two-edged sword. You know, it just isn't right, that's all. And if we can do something about it, let's do something about it. And they brought a guy
no,
in.
Exactly. But
they proved
but
it on Monday night with the Winnipeg game. That was a good challenge, and it was they overturned the call in the field, and it was a pass interference play. And so, you know, the rule change came up, and right first game out, it proved itself its worth.
No, exactly, yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're human beings, and they make
yeah.
mistakes like everybody, so it's, you know, that's why I'm like, you know, we
but,
don't...
But, Judith, don't you... We agree with you.
I agree with
you, and I'm sure everybody here agrees with you. You're 100% right. Why blame the officials? But why not give the officials the true tools to make the right decision, right? That's all. You know, why should he look bad because, you know...
You guys have to admit, though, it did kind of look a little bit, you know, kind of suspicious where, you know, I think the CFL wanted Hamilton versus Toronto in the East Final just because they knew, you know, what that meant. I don't know.
But that's what happens when calls that could have been called correctly aren't. That's what happens. You know, it's the same thing with, you know, the conspiracy. Conspiracies are born out of mistakes that are blown up way out of proportion, like I think Judith was trying to say.
I think the Ricky Reid right to Toronto was way more suspicious than that call against Montreal.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, that's obvious.
Here we
go. That's a no-brainer. We all know that's obvious. I don't know. Frank, you're still in denial about that for some reason. I don't know why.
I didn't say I denied it. I just don't think it matters.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I do have a question before we run out of time here, which we're coming to the end of the show. There's only 6 minutes left.
We got overtime.
Frank on track here. We could go, yes, Menachem, we could go for another hour.
You guys, have you, are you all on our Facebook group, CFL is?
CFL is the best football in the world.
Yeah,
I'm on it.
Yeah. Okay. Just check and make sure that we ask all the new people that comes in whether or not they've joined the group or not.
I need to get my iPad.
Hey, Chris, are we at 5,000 members yet on the page, or we're not quite there?
We're getting bloody close, my friend. 4,600 or something. We might make it before the season starts. I'll just flip over on my iPad here, and I'll tell you what we are. We're at 4,605 members right now. We were 250 members at this time last year.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
Is this a group for which the banner is all the colors of the CF, like it's coast to coast, all the colors, all the teams?
It's a flag, right? It's a map.
Yes, it's a
map. Okay, I got it. I'm on it. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
every team except Saskatchewan is accepted. Well, wait, hang on a second. We're working
on
Christopher.
That's not true, and
we're
you know that, Frank.
Christopher.
Saskatchewan is there.
No, they are.
You know, that's wrong, and you know it.
Okay. Anyway, enough about that. And it is a site where it's very active, and people talk. And I think what Christopher wanted to talk about is there's 250 members right now that are part of the game we're playing, of picking teams that will win each and every week. There is no prize, but it's a contest. And if you're into picking winners every week, please sign in. I haven't done it yet, and that's only because I haven't been at my computer much, and I can't do stuff like that on my phone. I just can't negotiate.
Does it cost money to join? Is it like actual money involved? Or?
Nope.
All you have to do is sign up. You just go in
and sign
up. Just
for bragging rights.
Yes.
We've had the
pool for the last 2 years, last two seasons. This is going to be our third year. We've all done – Donna Hodel and myself have done it on a spreadsheet for the last 2 years, done it by hand. This time we actually have a D-based program that's set up that you can go in, log in, and you can actually make your picks right now for the entire season, just so you don't forget any, and you can change them every week as you go along.
Yeah,
even
up to an hour before the game, right? Even up to an hour before the game.
Yeah, I think
so.
It's
what's
almost
the prize for the winner?
There is no prize.
There is no prize.
I won it the last 2 years. Okay,
bragging rights
about it.
Wow.
So the job, your job, is to take the championship away from me. I own it.
Oh, I'm coming for it this year, man.
You come for it, bro.
There's no rule. Hey, guys, there's no rule that doesn't say you can't have side bets. I just don't want to know about them.
No. And you know what? In all honesty, we're trying to find a couple of prizes here and there that we might be able to do
there
it.
May,
if,
there
if
may
we
be
get
prizes.
Some teams to donate some jerseys or something, you know?
Yeah.
Let me work at it. It's not a long season, but it's not over real fast. So we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, so you're more than welcome to join that. That's one thing we can promote. Also, I wanted to mention we only got 1 minute left. I really, Manasseh, thank you for sending me that link, and I found it totally enthralling. For the first time, the Argos are doing something rather unique, where you buy a five-game package, which I think is awesome. You buy a five-game package, and this is good for you, Judith. You buy a five-game package, and every time the team wins, all right, they move you down closer and closer to the platinum seats and the field. So you buy the cheapest tickets, five of them, and every time the Argos win, your tickets move down the stadium.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's very clever.
Yeah, and if they win all five games, you get to see that you get to sit right on the field right next to the players.
Turnover.
That's pretty cool.
So, Frank, are we going overtime today, or what's going on?
I guess we can go a little bit overtime. So let me do the thing where we're going away. And okay, folks, I want to thank everybody for tuning in here live. As you know, though, once the 2 hours are up, the live portion of the program doesn't continue. It stops. But then if you restart the show again and skip forward to the second hour, you'll be able to listen to the overtime that we'll do. Is everybody okay with doing a little bit of overtime?
Oh, yeah, it's football.
Okay.
Yeah, the game's not even done yet.
47 seconds left, and the BC just turned, or Edmonton just turned the ball over.
Yeah. Visions of last year with BC, with Edmonton. This was the disease that Edmonton had last year. They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory so many times.
Yeah, true.
So
is everybody watching this right now? It's a tie game with 43 seconds left.
So are they will they go to the overtime?
Is there overtime in exhibition?
I don't think there is.
In preseason? Well, we'll see in about 38 seconds.
Hey, Mike, you just made it under the wire, buddy.
Yeah, I know,
Mike
Townsend.
Hey, bro.
Hey, Mikey, what's up, man?
I
would have called earlier, but I was in a neighborhood, an area where I didn't have no phone signal. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, Mike, I'm going to go make myself a drink. It's Friday night. So now, buddy, tell us. I got a couple of questions, and they'll help you. I have Mike answer the questions that we've already answered and the discussions that we've had, the opinions, in as far as the game tonight, the fact that Quebec is a great fan base. We have two Quebecers with us, Mike.
Frank, sorry to interrupt you, but BC is about to go for the go-ahead field goal to take the lead here.
Yeah,
they have
got
8 seconds now. There was 4 seconds a second ago. They
win. There
they go.
What's up?
It's good.
You nailed it.
Manasseh and I are on about a 10-second tape delay because we're beaming it out of England we're streaming our game. BC wins the game.
I'm watching it on TSN.
Yeah, so you're ahead of us by about 8 seconds.
Yeah, I'm watching it on
TSN.
I think Edmonton's going to pull a miracle off? They got 8 seconds.
No, I don't.
They don't
so.
Have Milt Stegall.
You
also,
think
going to
throw
it was even a
hey,
bad
look,
it's
Schmidt.
Snap.
It's Schmidt the kicker.
Yep, Schmidt's the kicker from the Riders.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah.
So look, Chris Jones
bobbled the snap and everything. He still got it down. Nice hold.
Yeah, and it was a wobbly pop when he kicked it.
Yeah, that was Partridge that was holding, wasn't it?
Partridge in a pear tree.
Oh, it hit
no,
his
Travis.
Hand.
Travis
Hail Mary time.
2 seconds left.
Oh, Hail Mary time. Here we go.
Don't say anything, guys, until we get to see it.
Oh,
yeah, we'll
right,
run a couple right. seconds. In.
Touchdown, Edmonton.
Wait, who's the quarterback? Is it Pat White?
I didn't say
it.
That's
cranked
a lie.
It. Oh, my gosh. It, oh,
Jill,
that was a terrible
flag.
Oh,
Jill,
lame
I was
duck.
Playing.
Went straight up in the air.
What was that?
Oh, it's still 2 seconds.
It was blocked.
Get another shot at it? It was a blocked pass. Chris Jones
okay,
is
well,
coaching debut is
I
a loss.
So tomorrow we got a triple header. Huh? We got three games on, or two on TV and one's on, I guess, on radio before that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Here we go, Pat White. What's going on, man? He's going.
Oh, come on, wait. There it goes. And it's up. He's got it up. Looking for a flag.
Oh, that's just terrible. That's the preseason for you. Bunch of guys. Most of these guys aren't even going to be on the team, like, in 3 days.
That's
crazy.
Not Doug Flutie, man. Okay, that game's over. BC's got one in the books. Thank you all. Okay, I'm going to turn this off. Frank,
will the replay be on TSN in a couple hours?
Yeah, it will.
Yeah,
it'll be on video on demand, but probably in an hour. I'll give you a link as soon as it comes up, Mike.
Okay, cool. How y'all doing tonight, man? How you guys doing?
That's wonderful, Mike. BC Lions just won. How could I not be doing awesome?
Right, I feel you, man. I was gonna call in earlier, but I got caught on this back road, man, and I lost phone signal. I'm up in Massachusetts right now, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, hi to the Bruins.
Ouch.
We still got our new friends from La Belle.
Oh yeah,
Provence.
They're still here. Yep.
Yeah, we're.
I'm here. I'm still here. I'm in the middle of a hockey relapse now. I think it's the second overtime period, and it's 2-2.
Rangers yeah, I'm watching
it's
that.
Still on?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The game is still on, yeah.
Yeah, it's, wow.
It's the second period or maybe the third period, even the third period of overtime at this point.
Amazing.
Last time I checked, the Rangers were up 2-1. Oh, man.
I hope the Rangers win. Could you believe
a female on the phone?
Yeah, we have
a Montreal fan.
Judith,
a Montreal fan.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay, let's have Mike.
Is that Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah,
Mike Townsend.
I'm Mike. We're Facebook friends.
Oh, okay. What's your name?
Judith.
Judith.
I know who you are. How you doing?
You know.
Yeah, I know exactly who you are. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What
coach
about
potato?
You?
That's
the
good.
Coach
That's
potato,
good.
Exactly. That's me.
Okay, I found you.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're all finding each other.
That's funny.
There we go.
One of my... That's the nickname that one of my friends gave me. It was like, you're like watching every sport, and because like I'm always, you know, on my couch watching sports. So he's like, you're not you're not like a couch potato. You're a coach potato. So I was like, yay! Well, that's a great nickname. I'm gonna keep.
Hey Judith, are we friends? I'm not sure we're friends.
I don't think we are, because I've never met you in real life. I think.
No. If you would have met me in real life, you would remember me.
Oh yeah,
of course.
The kind of ugly I am is unforgettable.
That's a scary one.
Hey, I got a question. Is Montreal playing on TV tomorrow?
No,
Montreal
it's not. No, the Montreal game is not on TV, but the one of next Friday is on TV. The one of June 20th. And it's against the Red Blacks, so it's kind of an historic moment. It's the first Montreal versus Ottawa game. Well, even though it's only preseason, but it's the first Ottawa versus Montreal game. The first battle of the 4-17. Can we call it like that, or 4-1, or anyway, I don't know.
Whatever it is. Yeah, whatever highway.
Whatever highway it is, yeah. Depends. There's so many different ways to go from Ottawa to Montreal these days, so.
Will
yeah,
there be the a rivalry? Is the rivalry for real? Like, I know what you said earlier, you were talking about, you know, your loyalty will not be changed even though you're in Gatineau, which is just outside Ottawa.
Well, if the rivalry is anything like the rivalry between the Canadian and the Senators, I don't think there will be much of a rivalry.
Oh, no.
I mean...
Oh, that's a shot. Come on, man.
No.
Well, actually, if you want to talk rivalry in hockey with Montreal, it is Quebec. Even today, everybody remembers
Toronto.
Well, exactly,
Toronto.
That's
we don't
historic.
Like Toronto.
Montreal-Boston.
Yeah,
Montreal-Boston,
oh,
yeah.
Yes. You know what?
Yeah.
That's a funny story. Like, last year when you guys made the playoff, I was cheering for Toronto over Boston. And probably that's what helped you guys.
Yeah, of course.
That's sacrilege.
And the way Toronto lost against Boston after that lead, my God. And
oh,
I don't
God.
Want to remind anyone of that.
I was so thrilled to be right. All my Toronto friends were like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Like, Boston's going to beat us. Like, they're going to eat us raw, like Hamilton would say, but I was like, no, well, I'm hoping that Toronto will win, that's all. So finally they got to game 7 and everybody was believing that Toronto could beat Boston, but didn't
the worst thing that,
that
the worst thing that
it's
happened to Toronto, Toronto
in
was
century.
In 93. Judith, I don't know how old you are, but 93 was the year
I was 3 years old.
Yeah, that year was the year that Toronto possibly could have met Montreal for the Grey Cup.
FYI, the Rangers
the
are getting
Cup.
A power play in overtime.
For the Stanley Cup, sorry. Wow.
For the Stanley Cup, yeah.
The Rangers took the lead?
The Rangers are on it. The game is tied 2-2. It's about the second or third period of overtime.
No, it's
the second overtime.
And now the Rangers
second
are
overtime.
Carter just hit the post.
But there's a power play for the Rangers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see
Kyle Clifford just took a penalty.
Yeah. I know this is a football discussion, but at this hour, I mean, it's the hockey game. It's amazing that the hockey game is still there.
Yeah, well.
Well,
we all kind of
lost interest, though.
It started at 8.
Yeah, it did. I have, out of 12 players in my playoff pool in hockey, I have 8 players of the Rangers, and it's the big names like Nash, St. Louis, and all that bunch. And I'm not even in a position to win
anything.
It.
They're not doing
That's
anything.
The problem. Yeah, it's mostly the support players that got them where they are. But say we did good. Oh, I almost scored. Oh, sorry. Am I the only one watching the hockey game? Or
I got it here. They just cleared
right
the,
now,
they just cleared
the game.
There's no football game to watch.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's a good reason.
Yeah, but there's other things to do than watch hockey.
Yeah,
they
agree with
the World Cup. They got World Cup highlights on SportsCenter right now.
Tomorrow's my game.
Oh, my gosh.
Tomorrow's
the Netherlands, Wolf-Spain. Oh, my gosh.
5-1.
Wow.
Did
they
5-1.
Spanked Spain. That was a beatdown.
Defending champions, boys.
It was a beatdown.
Yeah.
Defending champions.
You know
the
what?
Dutch
I like
the...
Oh, my gosh. Spain looks... Oh, look at... They're showing the highlights on SportsCenter right now. Spain looks like a JV team. What the heck happened? Look at the
goalies
just giving away
just
the ball.
Terrible.
Like, what is that, man?
Well, the Dutch are a very
right.
good
Three
side.
Three of the goals
don't
were the direct responsibility
them.
Of the goalie.
And the
oh
thing about
gosh.
The World Cup is, you know, Manasseh,
oh
I don't know
gosh.
So much about the World Cup. How you start doesn't matter. How you start doesn't matter that much, as long as you stay alive.
Yeah.
New York just about
so who,
scored.
So who's everybody's team? Is everybody?
The Post!
Cause obviously
the Post!
Shoot the puck.
Hasse, I can't believe you're cheering for New York. I mean...
Who? Me?
Hasse's cheering for New York.
It's because of my hockey pool, and you know what? I want to be able to say that Montreal got beat by the eventual champions. That's a principle.
That's the thing that makes the CFL special.
And they're red, white, and blue like the Canadiens.
Blue, blanc, et rouge.
They're
yeah,
blue,
that's
yeah.
They're
they're blue, blanc, et rouge.
And another reason is because like their coach is from Gatineau, from here. They
yep.
have Derek Brassard from here, so I want to see the Stanley Cup in my town. And it's probably the only chance I have because the way the Senators are going... It's not going
to
be soon.
It's
not
in
anybody's
it's not just the Senators. It's not just the Senators,
no, no.
Frank. The league is the league
yeah.
is American. The league is run by Americans yeah. for the benefit of Americans.
That's right. Let's never forget that.
It is. The competition committee is made up of, I think, 7 or 8 people. None of them are from Canadian
yeah, I
teams.
Know.
None of them.
Yeah, that's what should be.
No, no, Gary Bittman has done a very good job at destroying our national sport.
He does.
That's
he
all I can say about hockey.
Job. He came in and would not allow Canadian teams on TV in the U.S. That was the first thing he
yeah.
did.
Yeah, because nobody was watching it, Frank. That's the whole point.
Yeah, you know, but
even
but,
like
you know, nobody,
when the,
nobody,
when the Toronto
thought
Raptors
black,
were in the playoffs.
Nobody thought black people had any rights either. I mean,
anyway,
discrimination.
Oh, come on, that's not the same thing, Frank. You gotta,
it's,
anyway,
it's a thing.
It's discrimination.
It's a TV market thing. That's the only reason he did it. Like when the Raptors
anyway,
were in the playoffs, even though it was a great series,
half those games were on NBA TV. Okay, I'll
you know?
Grant you that. I'll grant you that. So tell me something then, because you're full of crap, and I'm going to prove it to you. Then
right,
tell
me
why on Canada Day, why on Hockey Canada Day, they have to put the Phoenix team on TV with a Canadian team. What, two Canadian teams, there's no two Canadian teams that could play on Canada Day? On Canada Hockey Day? And Bettman put an
well,
American
I mean,
team in?
You're talking about for the Canadian broadcast or the broadcast is
no,
in America?
No, no, I'm talking about, you guys know, right, about the Hockey Day in Canada? You guys know
right,
about that,
I mean,
right?
They obviously, if they're going to broadcast
hockey
in the United States, they have to at least have one American team. Otherwise, if they
Why
have two Canadian
have
teams on TV, no one's going to watch. No one in America
I'm
is going to tune in.
I'm talking about in Canada. I'm talking about a game
oh,
in
I
Canada
don't know about
broadcast
that.
In Canada. Are you not listening
oh, that's,
to me?
That's something different. That's why
yeah,
I asked you. I was like, you said
Americans,
Canadian or American?
When it comes to business, when it comes to business and politics, Americans don't think anybody's good enough. Other than them, that's the way it is.
It's not about
it
people being
good.
Good enough, Frank. It's just a business.
Sure it
it's
is.
Just Bettman wants
sure
he wants to promote it in America because he knows hockey is huge in Canada. They're trying to you know build it up in the States.
I got a book for you to read. I got a book for you to read. It's called The Ugly Americans. Read the book and learn about
oh,
America.
Gosh, here we go.
The ugly.
I mean, it's just numbers, man. We got 450 million people. You guys have like 40 million people in your country. That's all it comes down to, just more people, and there's more money down here.
With your mentality and American mentality, there'd be no Green Bay in the NFL. With your thinking.
No, that's not the case. That's not what it means with Canada. The whole point is that there's nobody in America that's a fan of Canadian teams. That's why they don't like to put on TV. It's all
about. If money and numbers are the only thing that matters, there would be no Green Bay. There would be no Green Bay in the NFL.
That's different. None. Green Bay is a legacy team that was one of the first NFL
franchises.
Because
they had an opportunity to be a legacy. They weren't told they can't have a team, which is what
Hamilton
Green
Bay has the biggest. They have like one of the biggest fan bases in the state. Like everywhere in the country, there's Packer fans.
Because they built it. Because they were given a chance. That's how discrimination works.
That's different.
Discrimination
Frank,
works in not allowing people the opportunity to exist or to have a chance.
Oh, it's not like that.
Sure it is. The Constitution of the National Hockey League, because you got me going now. The Constitution, when Hamilton first wanted to have a team, the Constitution of the National Hockey League said, if you built a team that was state-of-the-art, if you had a sponsor, if you had an owner that had money to be a good team and you had fan support, you automatically were allowed to have an NHL team. All you had to do was make the request and you would have the team. For the first time in NHL history, okay, the Canadian team was not allowed to enter into the National Hockey League. Hamilton had as much right as anybody else. And the guy that did it, it came from basketball. Basketball is a bigoted league with bigots that run the place, and they're discriminatory.
Okay.
And I'm going to say this again. I've told you this before. Only in the history of the NBA has it ever been once. It's only ever happened to two teams that were told, you can join the league, but you're not allowed to have the first overall pick for 5 years.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
the
NBA just totally pulled their pants down and just took a dump on Toronto and then Vancouver. That was pretty funny. But no,
but
really.
But it's true.
It comes down to money, man. Money makes the world go round.
It comes down to
discrimination. The NHL knows that it makes no sense to put another Canadian team because they know all of Canada's already tuning in. That's why they got that multi-billion-dollar deal with Sportsnet. They already have the whole nation sewn up.
Well, Mike,
so their goal is
disagree with you.
We got to expand into America.
Mike, I disagree with you, though. Because we could have a franchise in Quebec City, and I think it would be stronger than the one you have in Phoenix. I'm sorry, but this is about to be bankrupt, and I think we could have a strong franchise in Quebec
City. I just don't understand how
any city in Canada would be stronger than Phoenix.
Yeah, it's not about having a strong franchise. It's about generating TV revenue. You need to get more eyes.
So they're trying to spread their footprint
in America to get more Americans to tune in.
Frank wanted to say something. Frank, jump in. What did you want to say?
Oh, no, but it was really simplistic. It was just to laugh. I never understood how can Phoenix and hockey be in the same sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just
along with Florida.
Well, I mean, it depends where you go. Like, you go to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay doesn't make sense, but they have a great fan base, and they're really successful.
NHL's
like throwing darts at the wall and trying to see which one of these stick. You know?
The more
money they'll make.
You know, Tampa Bay is the suburbs.
Yeah,
but
it's full of Canadians.
It is. You know how many,
I've
Montreal
been...
games that are played in Tampa, how populated they are by French Canadians that go
down
to Orlando?
I've been to Florida for the winter vacation, and I would say that 60% of the arena was filled with Montreal Canadiens fans. And I would be ashamed if it would be my arena, but I mean,
and
60% of the fans there were Montreal Canadiens.
And Judith, that's the problem. See, what Manasse doesn't understand, because he doesn't give a rat's ass about Canada. He doesn't care about Canada.
No,
Let's see how deaf Manasse is, and I'm going to lay out why they don't put a team in Hamilton, why they don't put a team in Quebec. You heard him say that they've already taken all the money they can out of Toronto. They've got all the eyes locked in, he says, right?
No, that's not all the money.
What I'm saying
is people in Hamilton and people in Quebec are going to be tuning in no matter what, either way. People in Quebec are going to watch the Canadians. People in Hamilton are watching Toronto.
Exactly.
Thus, they
now
got their money through the TV revenue. That's all that counts.
Yes. And
they got a $1 billion contract in Canada.
Okay. What they've done, what the National Hockey League under Bettman has done, is the simple rules of business are And do we agree? Does everybody understand the phrase supply and demand? Does everybody understand mm-hmm. that?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I understand that principle.
Right?
Yeah.
You understand the principle, right? So
no,
now,
I understand perfectly.
If you, yeah, and if you cut off the supply in Canada of teams, right, you're not cutting the demand, right? So now what happens is you can take $10 million from Toronto, you can take $10 million from Montreal, right? And then
right.
you can ship it to Phoenix and support a team
that's,
and pay for a team somewhere else. And that's illegal
and that's
in my mind. It's immoral. It's immoral.
It's
immoral.
Immoral.
It's happening.
Yes, it's immoral.
I don't know about that.
It's not immoral.
That's what you,
sure it is.
That's
wrong.
What you were talking about earlier on, about the CFL revenue sharing between the teams.
Yeah.
Exactly,
kind of
Frank. Like exactly, Frank. Like these franchises should just fold, or they just
yes,
just sell.
Yes.
And
but
instead
the
of doing
NHL
that,
would have
they're just
like,
losing
have like
money over those
teams.
Franchises.
Like you can't have you can't have a real national league that has.
But why?
You
but
know,
why, Manasseh? Earlier
yeah.
in the program, you were talking about Winnipeg and having them have a chance to, at the brass ring, in other words, the playoffs and such, right? Don't you think
right.
at least, having said that, don't you think at least people who want to watch hockey and pay for it get to watch hockey
yeah.
too? And don't you think
okay,
that
so,
it's not fair with what you said? You're a hypocrite because
right.
you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You are talking about the value of appreciating fans. Well, Canadian fans ship money to the United States to support American teams and don't get to have a team. To me, that's why
exactly.
it's immoral. It's immoral.
No,
it
goes both ways because
typical,
Bettman wants a
George
real
Bush
national league,
just,
and he wants to have
typical.
At least 25 to 30 teams. Otherwise, if you had your way, the NHL would be
you don't have to
teams.
Have 25 teams. You can have – one thing I've learned about the CFL, having too few teams is not a bad thing. It's
oh,
not
no,
a bad thing.
They can't do that and be taken serious in America. If the,
they're
the
not
CNHL
taken
has
seriously
like,
now. They're not taken
oh, yeah, they are, Frank.
No.
In New
no,
York, LA, Chicago,
exactly.
in Minnesota,
exactly.
there's a lot of places where the NHL still matters. I mean, but
yes,
those cities
places.
Aren't going to take it serious if it's a small, tiny little league.
It's not a 24.
But at the end of the day, like I totally agree with Quebec City getting an NHL team. That makes a lot of sense. But there's no
and
way
Hamilton
you can justify
doesn't?
Putting a team in Hamilton. Of course not. It's
why
a
not?
Suburb of Toronto. Why?
Well,
why would the main
know,
why would the
yeah,
Maple Leafs need to have any more competition? They should have. They should own the
Toronto,
entire Southern Ontario market.
Toronto could afford to have. You know what? Like Torontonians could afford to have a team in Markham. That's how this huge is their market. Like they could have a team in the city that's right beside Toronto. That's
again,
how huge their market
you're,
is.
You're right. No,
it's no
Judith,
different than the New
Judith.
York Islanders and the New York
exactly.
Rangers. They're damn
and,
they're
and yeah,
but when you say
other.
That, look how bad the Islanders are doing. Look how good the Rangers are.
And that's
it's like
America
people who
for
say
you.
In Saskatchewan, they
okay.
want
you
they want they want
Canada,
a second team in Saskatchewan because of the fan base. Man,
but
the
also,
second team in Ontario would be garbage compared to
the
Maple Leafs. Because let's say they
but
put
the
a
Americans
team in Hamilton or Markham.
To, the American
you think that team is
going
to get supported like the Leafs?
The American
I mean, what are you
teams
about?
Do
not,
not want Canadian teams to have a say in what goes on. Everything the league does caters towards
oh,
the Americans.
No, you're reading into it that like that, Frank. That's not the case.
No.
Nobody's conspiring against Canada. They're milking it, I agree. They're using
hey,
to make money.
Hang on. Manasseh, for a second, listen to Frank, okay? Because you know what? I very rarely agree with that man. And very rarely do I disagree with you. He is bang on. You are missing the point here.
So what I'm trying to understand is you guys are mad at Gary Bettman because he doesn't want to
he's
expand into Canada, but he wants to expand into America.
That's
no.
correct.
No, I disagree with you there, Christopher. Only in the sense we agree, we still agree, But what I'm saying is that Bettman is a bigot. He's a discriminatory bigot.
Oh,
he doesn't
no.
like Canada.
I'm accusing him of. He's discriminatory.
No, he's not discriminatory. He's playing Canada.
I'm sorry.
He's not hating it. He's just using it.
Dude, he's a hypocrite, okay? He's a bigot and a hypocrite. You don't go into the U.S. and say to the TV, I don't want you to put on any Canadian teams here in the U.S. because nobody cares about the U.S. teams. And then come into Canada on Canada Day. I don't care about Hockey Night in Canada. I don't care about the midweek games. But on Canada Day, he's asking them to put an American team on there that has no fans that he's trying to build a fan base with. It's stupid.
I don't know, man. I think you're taking it a little bit too serious, man. I think that's not that big of a deal.
I'm Canadian. Hockey's in our blood. I love the Canadian Football League, but hockey's in our blood here. And and Gary Bettman is a bigot and an asshole. Trust me, he's a jerk.
Can I say something?
Well,
because of what Gary Bettman has done with the NHL, that's how I became. That's how football has taken.
And that's what I say.
Over as my favorite sport. That's because the talent is too diluted. There's too many teams. That's why when I discovered the CFL and I started to very follow it religiously, that's how I like hockey now. Like, I started to watch hockey when it was the playoffs. I didn't watch a single game during the season on TV. That's how much I don't care about it anymore. Of course, I went to see a few games here and there, live. Huh?
François, like same for me. I was watching the game, the Argos Winnipeg game over the final game between LA and New York.
Because
I needed my fix, like I wanted to watch the NFL so badly. I was like, I don't
That's
care, you know. I mean,
this year, watching the games between Boston and Montreal, have you ever, in your wildest dreams, the way the league has ruled in the past and talks about ruling? Would you ever imagine that a guy could utter a death threat and not even be fined?
You're talking about Lucci? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? First of all, no one. I think if it would have, you know, somebody would have made a complaint, like if Weeze or I think there was Yimlin, the other guy that got threatened. If they would have went and made a complaint, I think.
I think he would have been fine.
The Bruins run the National Hockey League. The Bruins run
so
the National
Hockey League. Because he said it to a Canadian team or a player on a Canadian
team?
No, it hasn't. That's why it wasn't suspended? Okay, I thought that's what you were trying to say.
No. It very simply, Manasseh, very simply, there are penalties in the National Hockey League that are automatic. They're automatic. The last time LA won the cup.
Wow, that was a wonderful goal, actually.
Yeah, it's a good goal.
Anyway,
Manasse didn't win on a fleeky goal.
The other thing is, Manasse, a guy squirts water at a player during the game is a finable offense. You're not supposed to interfere with play on the ice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The thing,
and especially that he was away with stuff. Go ahead.
Especially it was called as an obstruction because PK had the puck. He was playing and he squirted water in his face. So I think it's almost like if you hit the guy, you know, it's the same thing.
You can't touch him while he was playing. If you're on
exactly.
the bench, you can't touch the guy on the ice. And because he played for Boston, he got away with it. That's the only reason. Manasse doesn't understand because he doesn't understand the rules in hockey. He has no history, and he doesn't understand how ignorant Americans are because he is one. That's why.
Frank, look, man, this whole, you're taking too many shots at Americans.
Well, let's not get it twisted. At the end of the day, Canada's always going to be America Junior. At the end of the day, that will never change.
See how ignorant Americans are. All you have
it's
to
not
do
ignorant.
Is
that's
talk,
a, that's
it is
actual
total ignorance. It's total,
okay, so
it's
Frank,
total
Frank,
hockey bullshit.
Who runs North America? Is it Canada
again,
or America?
I repeat, ugly Americans run North America.
Okay.
Americans, read the book.
Okay, but that doesn't defeat the point that America calls all the shots, not just in North America. We call the shots in basically every continent on the planet. We dictate
ugly
almost
Americans.
Every nation's foreign policy, with
pompous
the exception
asses.
Of maybe Germany and England. That's it.
Only the
so you're telling me who's really?
American.
I mean, come on, man.
Manasse, you're an unusual. You're one of the types of Americans that causes problems in the world. Your mentality's the problem. You
it's
think
not a problem. I'm just stating the fact, man. I'm not,
well,
I'm not bragging about
that's
it. That's
the
just the reality.
Americans.
So,
I'm
Frank, you're telling me
that,
that's not true?
I want to make
you tell me that's
clear.
Not true.
No, hang on a second. I want to make
you know,
it clear.
You know, we had a really good evening tonight on this on the call here, and it's just like digressed really badly back to mud flinging thing.
Well,
we had new.
I mean, Frank's
here,
the one who went on
show.
Like he took like
and
10 or 15 shots
on
America.
I know it was Frank that went off on a tangent, Manasi, but that doesn't mean that you have to fight back.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
I'm
going to make clear what I said. I'm not referring to all Americans. I'm referring to the owners in the National Hockey League who are ugly Americans. Okay. They want to make money and they don't care how much they hurt the Canadian hockey fans. They're inconsiderate and thoughtful, just like when George Bush went into war, lied, and profited from it. That's
okay.
the ugly American
See,
I'm referring to.
Again, you're taking. Frank, that's you
that's
taking a
shot at
our country.
That's the American I'm referring to. I'm referring
well,
to Americans.
Come on,
I think
man.
I happen to agree with Frank on this one, but Frank, I'd like to make a point on what you just said. What
yes.
you just, your point you just made about Americans is no different than my point that I've made against the Riders, and you have shot me down at every turn with that.
No.
Said
I'm,
that I'm
listen,
ignorant
I'm
and arrogant, and I don't think that
my
comments against the Riders football team is unacceptable. Then your comments against Americans right now is unacceptable.
I'm
well.
Not talking about Americans in general. I'm talking about the Americans that own the team.
And I am never talking
they're
about Rider fans in general either.
Discriminating
and
against
you guys
Canadians.
Just think that I am. Okay?
And they're discriminating.
Hey, guys. You know what? Just to step away a bit from the politics, I think I have another question for you about
okay.
football, actually.
Yeah,
so
I think we should go
to
back
go
to
back
the
there. I was watching the game, you know, the Toronto game, and I was wondering, who do you think will become your new running back since Tacker has retired?
Oh,
do you think Norwood will carry the
Slayton.
The title?
Slayton was awesome on Monday night.
Slayton?
Yeah.
Hey,
no
Judah, can you hear me? This is Mike. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Nope. Yeah, Judah, I've been telling him since Slayton's been signed that he's going to be the top running back in Toronto.
Yeah. Mike's been right on that one. This guy was a beast.
What are they doing on the screen?
Are you watching TSN?
Hey, can anybody tell me what was the score of the game tonight?
For BC and Edmonton? Yeah.
It's one in the last 8 seconds or something.
Hey, did Fred Stamps play tonight or he set out?
No,
ooh, Fred
Stamps?
Fred Stamps played a game. He scored a touchdown in the opening drive or second or third drive for Edmonton. He did exceptionally well this evening. He was the shining star. Him and Riley just showed up.
Yeah, they look good.
Oh, wow.
They look good.
I'm going to have to watch that replay tonight when they put it on
What about Kevin Glenn? Did Kevin Glenn, I didn't see him. Did he show up or was he Kevin Glenn as usual?
Yeah, somebody, yeah. What was it Kevin Glenn started like?
Kevin Glenn was fine, actually. Yeah, I think he scored a touchdown. Well, he didn't score it himself, but I think he had a pass on a touchdown.
Oh, wow. Well, BC couldn't sign a better backup. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's going to be I think he's going to be a better backup than DeMarco was, so that's my opinion.
But
what's the guy named? Did John Beck play?
Yeah, he played.
He played, yeah.
How did he do? How did he do when I
played? He had an interception and he completed less than 50% of his passes. But the one thing that I didn't notice is that he looked exactly like Travis Lule. Like I thought it was Travis Lule out there for a minute, then I saw the number. But I don't know.
Does he have red hair as well?
Their strength. Yeah, no, that's another point. Yeah, he has red hair too. I just noticed that.
Right. Yeah. Do you think?
But like, you know what about
these
three? Yeah. Like a goalie in Montreal once says, "Chill out. It's only preseason."
Yeah.
You
just know what I'm talking about.
BC? BC has 4 quarterbacks on their roster, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You guys know that
we have
more
right
now. Frank in Montreal.
I thought
he's out of the league, but I heard Chad Johnson rolled his ankle. He had like an ankle injury. I was seeing on Twitter. I think it might have been yesterday.
He's not playing tomorrow, but he's traveling with the team. Same thing for Luc Brodeur-Jourdain, the center. He hurts his bicep. I think he has both his biceps are injured, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So Troy Smith is injured as well.
Yeah, I heard that too. I was like, what's going on, man? Are those serious, or were they just sort of like, you know, cautionary stuff?
I think it's not for Troy Smith, it's not serious. Hopefully it won't. My only concern is I think it's a knee injury from what I read. So, you know, even if it's not serious.
It is a knee injury.
Yeah, it is a knee. So I'm just worried that it could follow him all season long. But we'll see.
Chad Johnson had a stupid accident. He ran it to another player, so that's what happened to him.
Yeah. But I'm not worried because in Montreal they have Tanner Marsh as a backup.
Well, you know what? I'm kind of disappointed that we let go of Nice Wander and we kept Brink instead. I'm like,
That's not you. That's not you, Judith, talking here. It's your dad.
No,
I like
Nice Wander.
Man, I don't know,
okay.
Man. I still think Tanner Marsh needs some work. He needs some work.
Yeah, me too.
He's still young. I mean, one miracle comeback victory under heavy rain doesn't make a career, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And he got bad luck last year because a couple of games after, he injured his finger and he was basically done for the season. That's how Troy Smith jumped in early because he was not ready. So it's going to be interesting for many teams. Is
Jamel Richardson practicing, or is he still not ready yet?
He's not practicing. I don't think so. He's still recovering. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's not
going to be ready for the beginning of the season?
I don't think so. That's the latest info I get. But Brandon Whitaker is practicing, so he should be ready. And it's going to be interesting what they're.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, how's Whitaker looking?
I haven't been to the practice. Maybe Judith has more info on that.
No, I don't actually. But the thing is, I think we kind of did well with, you know, we have a great backup. We have Tyrell Sutton. Even though he's not ready for the beginning of the season, I think we're going to be fine with Tyrell Sutton.
I would use plays with two running backs, Troy Smith and two running backs. Could you imagine? The three guys have good legs, assuming that Troy Smith is doing good.
And now we have Taylor as a returner, so I'm pretty sure we'll do good also on the special teams. I'm
happy about the return of Taylor, but my only concern is, I mean, he's not getting any younger, but who...
No, but
I mean,
you know what?
He's still the second best
returner in the league. The first one is, of course, Chad Owens, but he's the second.
Yeah. Regardless, Judith, our SUs cannot be worse than the previous years, you know?
Yeah.
I'm still amazed that you think your team is rebuilding. I mean, the Alouettes are legitimate Grey Cup contenders in my book.
I think rebuilding was not the right word. They're more like in transition because it's the post-Calvillo era, new coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, Troy Smith, yes, he's a former Heisman winner, but is it a guarantee of success in the CFL? I'm not so sure. But I hope so. So there's a lot of questions. Maybe they're not rebuilding because the core is there, especially with the O-line, which is a very important part. But like, there's a lot of changes for a second year in a row. Like for about the second year in a row, it's almost a new coaching corps, like I said earlier. And Dinwiddie as the calling the plays, like that's to me very questionable. But I mean, apparently from what I read, the OC Warman, like I. We're it's after the show, right? So I can use a colorful language. Apparently, from what I heard, he was behaving like an ass with the players and the other coaches. That's why they fired him. That's what I heard. But it's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
You know what's ironic is that it's the first time I see that in a training camp
in a training camp, a coach getting cut from the team before a player gets cut? That's the I think that's the first.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
that's
like
kind of
we've been going
kind
for.
Of ironic.
You know what, Hansa? That's a funny story. My father last year, he was so proud that Coach Stressman got into the NFL that he made a sign saying, "Our coaches don't get fired; they graduate to the NFL for Dan Hawking." That was like the worst mistake he ever made. We took the sign with us to a game, and we never took it back after.
By the way, you ever, does everyone know who Dan Hawking is?
Yeah, oh yeah, the coach that got fired.
Yeah,
the
but
coach
you,
got
know,
fired
you know
after
what?
Five
when you have time, do a search on the internet for Dan Hawkins, and then do a search for Dan Hawkins, go play intramurals or something like that. Because on a show he made, one of the worst fit I've seen. Like because there he had received a letter from the parents of a player. He wanted more days off, and like he blew them off. Like you know what I'm talking
out.
About, right?
Yeah,
it's on a talk. It's on a sports talk show. I mean, just search for Dan Hawkins intramurals, and it's one of the first videos that you'll see. It's hilarious because in his speech, like he talks very, very, very calm, and then he explodes. Like so, right from the start, I had my doubts when he got hired, and. And funny fact is when we went to Moncton for the Touchdown Atlantic after he got fired, and there was a house for sale, and the company name was Hawkins. So I told to the other people, you know, that's what Hawkins is up to now that he's no longer coaching the Alouettes. That was funny. Anyway, yeah, that was hopefully I think we're in. To come back to a more serious note, I think we're in a much more bitter situation for the head coaching position with Higgins. At least he knows the rules of the CFL. He's the former head of the referees, so that's a plus.
And he was also a coach.
He was a coach
of the Calgary St. Peter.
They had
a winning record with him. So.
Yeah. I'm just concerned that he may be rusty as a coach since he hasn't coached in a while, and hopefully he's not too much from the old guard because the league has changed a little bit since the last time he was the head coach of the of Edmonton. So, but I mean, it's still better than in my opinion, it's still better than Hawkins. And with all due respect to Jim Popp as a GM, I think we're better off with Higgins than with Pop as a coach last year, so, and I'm saying that with all due respect to Jim Pop.
And not because I don't like Pop as a coach. I mean, I think he did an okay job last year.
He did very good with what he had.
He
was one player away from the Grey Cup.
With the thing he had, he did well.
Yeah.
But I think I like him to focus on his job as a general manager. He's doing it super well, so I want him to. In that position and, you know, keep working that way.
That's another
the new players.
And the Jim Pop situation is another touchy situation because, he's in the last year of his contract as a GM, and he was not consulted for the hiring of the new coach, which is a normal. And he's I think nobody will argue that he's one of the best GMs in the league, if not the best GM.
Yeah.
So hopefully they sign him. But I think he, with what happened, I think he's holding the biggest head of the stick. I mean, in the bargaining for a new contract, because he only has 1 year left, so he. I think he's in a good position to negotiate.
Hey, Jude, have you bought your Chad Johnson jersey yet?
Pardon me?
Did you buy your Chad Johnson jersey yet?
This is coming soon. He's looking so great in those gears. Oh, my God. I'm just I really like him. Like, he's embracing the city. He's wearing he went to a hockey game and he's wearing like Expos hat and stuff. I'm like, oh my god, he's really like liking the city, and he was saying like I love you to everybody. Like, he's on the street like I love you on Twitter, I love you to everybody. So yeah, really, I think he's gonna be a great character in Montreal.
He wasn't even looking for a place to live at some point. Eh? He said, "Oh, I'm quiet. I do cooking. I do cleaning. I can handle everything." Because I think he was looking for someone who might have a room to rent or something like that. So,
I have friends in Ottawa, and they were living with Joe Eppley from the Argos that went to Ottawa. So they were renting him a room.
Okay.
So players do that.
They have to, because, I mean, they're not NFL players. They don't make
players
make in the NFL. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
so your friends rented him a room?
How has he looked in practice?
Chad?
Chad.
Well, apparently he's very fierce. Like, one of my friend went to the practice and said he was so fast, and he's like, he was kind of quiet though. He didn't talk much, but he was really fast and concentrating on the exercises, and he was really perfectionist. So she said that he really thinks he's going to be a good prospect.
The most important, Judith, aside from the athletic performance, is that he's getting along very well with his teammates, and he's not being a diva or anything like that. Which
is everybody's thrilled to play with him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's always a good deal.
We're happy he's here. We're very I'm really hoping that he's getting the rules and the playbook and stuff, because he hasn't played, I think, for 2 years now. But he's going to adjust, and he's a professional. I'm pretty sure he's going to be able to make his way and become a great CFL player.
And I don't think the learning curve is as steep for him as it was for Troy Smith last year, because, like, quarterback is more complex of a position than the receiver, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a football expert, but, like, I can only assume that. Yeah.
Exactly.
And
don't forget
for the behavior, if he wouldn't be nice with the players and the coaches, he would already be out. Just look what happened to Rick Warman, the OC. I mean, you're not patient.
And don't forget, he only had half of a year to learn the playbook. When Chad Johnson, he's at the old training camp. You know, Troy Smith got through to the melee when Anthony got injured. Yeah. So he only had half of a year to learn all the playbook, which is not very long. And Chad Johnson's been there since the beginning.
Yeah, so it should be. I'm looking forward to next to my trip into Montreal Friday. That's gonna be especially since for a long moment I thought it would not happen because of the negotiations or the lack thereof negotiations between the players and between the owners and the league. So
it was such a relief when they announced everything was fine and they agreed. I was like, oh my god, yes.
But like I mentioned early on, I think in a city like Ottawa, even though there was not a working stoppage, I think the uncertainty, the uncertainty, I don't know if I, the instability that it caused, I think it kind of, it has done big damage to the Red Blacks, but for sure it didn't help the good news is, from what I read, is like they have about over 16,000 season tickets sold,
it's almost sold out for the home opener. So that's all.
Yeah, from what Jeff Hunt went on the record to say that he doesn't expect to have any single tickets available for the game, because what they're doing right now, and that's because I wanted to attend that inaugural game. And what I needed to do, because like there's the first Red Blacks game on the Friday, and then there's the Fury, which is the soccer team, not Major League Soccer, but it's another league on the same weekend. So they made it an event, a weekend event. So what I had to do is I had to pay an extra $30 to get a soccer ticket as well for a game that I might not even go. Because they were selling, like, it's a package of two tickets, one for the soccer game and one for the football game. Like, I could have waited to see if there's going to be single tickets available for the first match against Toronto, but, I mean, I didn't want to take any chances, so I bought the package. So
yeah.
So it's a good sign. I mean, I think from Ottawa, like, the Yes Red Blacks, it's not, well, some would say it's not a good name or it's not unanimous. But the branding that they're doing around it is very, the branding they're doing and the marketing they're doing around it is very good. So it's good for the league to have a successful team in Ottawa.
Is Mike still there?
I don't know who's still there. I think it's only you.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay, Mike, so what, I think you're a Riders fan, right?
Well, I'm a Riders on one of my teams. But I'm a Hamilton and a Montreal fan, especially Montreal.
Oh, great.
Right now,
okay.
With Chad Johnson.
But Riders are first.
Hamilton.
Hamilton? Okay. Because I was about to ask you, like, what do you think about all the changes they've done? During the off season, but.
Well, the changes they've done, I mean, you know, granted they lost Dressler, but they picked up Chaz Schillings. And he's a bigger, and he's a better target, but he's a bigger down the field wide receiver that can get down the field, and he's a big, tall guy, 6'4", 235. So they upgraded, for say, in their receiving core with Chaz Schillings. Now when Corey Sheets come back, they're going to have an all-around offense. They're going to be okay. I still see them.
I think I still see them
being first or second in their division.
So I think we might have talked about that early on, but, like, you think Kolaros is a sure value, even or too early to say? I mean,
you know, with Kolaros, I would love to see him. I would love to see more of him because I didn't think highly of him last year, and I ate a lot of crow. I ate it baked, fried, however you can fix it, I ate it. So,
you think it was a fluke? All the success he got.
I don't think he was a fluke, but I didn't think he was going to be able to carry the load the way he did in Toronto when Ricky Ray was gone. But he proved me wrong. So I think with being a full-time starter, he's going to have his growing pains and his bumps under Ken Austin's offense. But I'd give him about a year or two, and he'd be like one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on if he grabs Ken Austin's offense or not. But if not, you know, they always got Jeremiah Mazzoli back there to take over. So, you know, we just have to wait and see.
Yeah,
they
have,
I think
they have
him a year or two, he'll be okay.
Who's the third stringer guy? He was not that bad in Hamilton.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
Dan.
I don't remember the name,
Dan,
but I know that.
Dan LeFever.
Yeah,
LeFever was
second. Yeah, but there's another one. He's smaller guy.
Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Yeah, exactly. He's also good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I see Mazzoli was a good quarterback in college, but he got into some trouble and had to change colleges, so that's what kind of hurt him in his development, being a quarterback.
Speaking of trouble, a quarterback that got into trouble, I think in Montreal we had Garcia at one point a couple of seasons ago, and he got into big trouble, I think, in Carolina. I don't know where he was playing. Is it? What was his name? It's not Jeff Garcia, but Judith, you remember Garcia? He was on a practice roster.
Garcia.
Oh, you talking about the guy down from Carolina? South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's no longer in the plans of the Alouettes. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the quarterback situation in Calgary, like Tate or? What's his name? The Rock. I always see as the name of a rock star, Bo Levi Mitchell. Like, it always makes me laugh. How TSN likes to repeat and repeat and repeat his name every time that they can. So I don't know who's going to be the starter for them. Like,
he has a cool name, like Deodra Dix. That was a pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but seriously,
I think,
in Calgary.
I think with Calgary,
they're gonna be in trouble with the quarterback position. This year, the position is Drew Tate to lose.
Yeah, it's his job
but
to
I
lose.
Think
yeah, of course.
It's his job to lose, but I think with Bo Levi Mitchell, he didn't do a bad job when he had a couple of starts last year. But, you know, just a little bit more, give him a little bit more playing time, a little bit more teaching. He's going to be Calgary's here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's going to be a future starter.
He's the guy of the future. Same thing as when Montreal. Like I believe that Troy Smith will be the guy for a while, but I see him as a transition between Calvillo and a younger quarterback, whether it's Tanner Marsh or someone else. Because Troy Smith, I mean,
yeah.
he's 30 years
29
old.
29 now.
So,
29, yeah.
Eh? 29, but he's going to turn 30. So, I mean, it's the age usually where you peak, I think, in your career, if I'm not mistaken. So there's not that much room to learn. So
not being a 29-year-old quarterback, no.
Yeah, exactly. Like
yeah.
You're saying, Calvillo and Damon Allen were like exceptions to have a career that extended past their 40s. Usually,
but
it
actually,
doesn't go that far.
I think Calvillo started to do really well when he was in his early 30s. Well, 2000. How old was he in 2002? He was probably what 2002, 12 years. He was at the end of his 20s when he was in his first Grey Cup. No, he's 28.
Johnny
yeah,
Bauer of
20.
The CFL.
Yes. Huh?
Yeah. Yep.
I said Johnny Bauer of the CFL.
Okay.
The old Leafs goalie. He started. He was raised from the minors at the age of 32.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a late bloomer. That's what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very unusual.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's quite unusual. I think Matthew, you remember Matthew Schneider, that's what my brother told me, that Matthew Schneider started to play hockey, I think, when he was a teenager. I think
12
I heard.
Or 13.
So, yeah. So, yeah, those are exceptions because usually, like, you don't, when you start that old, you don't succeed. I'll have
Hey, is Manasseh still on the phone?
Nope.
Manasseh is gone?
Yeah, it's just
I have to be gone soon. I have to go to sleep, and I'm having some guests tomorrow at my place, so I'll
have
to.
You only have a minute or two left anyway. At around one, we'll get cut off.
Okay.
That's why I started talking because I was just going to mention the show's almost over.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
I thought you were quiet.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah,
and
thanks for
having
us over.
Yeah.
Hey, no problem. Anytime, y'all. You know, feel free to call Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Maybe we won't talk hockey anymore.
No, I think it's better off this way.
Anyway, the season's over, and a great CFL
nothing.
Season starting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
yes,
what the
it
most
is.
Important. Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season because I think in the CFL, generally speaking, I think there's a change of guard with all the new QBs coming in,
mm-hmm.
The new young QBs coming in. I think it's the starting of a new era. I think
exactly. Yeah.
Especially here in Montreal, because like Calvillo leaving is a big. It's a huge step for us, like because like. They never had anybody to back him up properly. So.
Well, all that's left now are Ray. All the old guys that are left are Ray, Glenn, and Burris.
Yeah, Burris. Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of Calvillo, you know what they're doing in Montreal? They on like the things happen very conveniently. They're having the Calvillo Day on Thanksgiving Day on the 13th of October. So how convenient, 13 that. That's AC's number, so.
Don't think it's an accident.
That's well. No, I don't think. Well, no, I don't think it's an accident. But like, if he had retired 1 year earlier or one year later, they would not have been able to do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe they would have found another game that is on a 13. But like, it's just like the thematic, like Thanksgiving, like for all the things that he's done for the city and for
it's
for.
Great.
I mean, he's the one
and,
who's
and Ben Towns' number is getting retired too this year.
Real quick, did you find that Calvillo has lost his patience with Hawkins? It all went backwards, like everything slid when he just didn't like the offense that Hawkins was providing him.
If I may talk first, I really think that Hawkins was fired mostly because of Calvillo. Calvillo was getting really annoyed with him, and in every interview you could see it on TV.